Hey, what's poppin', everybody? It's the Tuesday award-winning Drew and Mike show. Yes, still celebrating that best of four, best podcast award. Although they've moved on to best pets now already.
I know.
Yeah.
Wow. Where's the plaque or the trophy? Or aren't they going to at least bother me to advertise?
I guess not. Mr. Magoo had a, he made one up for us on Twitter.
I think I saw it.
It's pretty cool.
What was the award in the fist, like the logo? Ooh, wow.
Yes, a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, I saw that. That was very nice.
Now we just need to make it.
Yeah, can we have a GoFundMe to get the trophy?
Oh, man.
Oh, boy. Okay. So, crazy day. It was crazy before I even got into anything when I found out that 14 of the Florida Marlins have COVID-19 and two coaches. And tonight's game is canceled. And the Phillies, who they played yesterday, that's canceled. So already,
it's over.
Should we just forget it?
Yes.
Can we just eliminate those two teams and just move on?
Well, no, because the Reds had some too, which has made the Tigers worried.
Oh, the Reds have some. How many do they have?
You find that story.
You know, I'm so surprised because, traveling around in airports and hotel rooms is generally considered the way to attack coronavirus.
You know,
to travel a lot.
President Trump should have just waited before backing out of throwing the first pitch for the Yankees game. Because it's going to be canceled anyway. He had his out entirely.
Yeah, but he did make it seem like he was multitasking too much to be involved with anything so trivial.
That's true. That's true.
I kind of feel like the players are just going to quit. They're just going to say, this is really dumb. We know you guys really care about the money and you need it more than we do, but this is really dumb. This is like,
I quit!
There's the story about the Cincinnati Reds.
Well, then, so what? The Reds have players who... Oh, so are the Reds playing tonight or tomorrow? Or what are the Reds doing with this?
I don't know. But they had players that were tested positive.
That played?
Yeah, I guess. Isn't that part of
it? I thought they tested them every day.
Yeah, but the model allows players who have tested positive to resume play. You have to be negative test in 24 hours following a positive test. So they could just keep testing until they're negative, so then they can play.
What? Wait, don't they have to quarantine for 14 days or something?
I guess not. No, you just have to test negative.
Well, then how would it not spread? Are you kidding me?
No, that's part of the rule, man.
That is so stupid. What am I? Am I missing something here?
No.
And Derek Jeter is, of course, the big man with the Marlins now.
Yeah, Dr. Derek Jeter.
Does he have an honorary degree?
Yeah, he's acting like one.
He said, of course, safety and the health of our players is the most important. I was like, wait a second. Why are you playing baseball then if the safety and health of your players is the most important thing? Why are you traveling around from city to city, hotel to hotel? And
half the roster is testing positive.
So has football made any comment about this? By the way, they told them there was a way to do this. If they were in the bubble. If they played, I think the idea was that baseball would all be in Florida, you know, where Grapefruit League is, or in Arizona, where they got a lot of stadiums, and they could all be relatively close, not much travel, and they just decided that they didn't need to do that.
No. They do what they want to do. How'd that work out?
How is football going to work out? They tackle each other a lot.
Roger Goodell just sent you an email. I don't know why it came into my...
Roger did?
Yes. I don't know why it came to my email address. But it said, Dear Andrew, and it was their whole list of how safe they are.
They're tackling each other.
It's not going to happen.
And
college football's not going to happen either.
That didn't work out well, didn't it?
Well, it doesn't sound like...
That didn't work out well at all, did it?
It doesn't sound like college is going to happen.
Oh, you mean like in class?
Well, I just saw this poll today on... I think it was... Actually, it's a Michigan poll, but there's a national component to it, too. And it was about... 63% of people either strongly or somewhat do not want to send their kids to schools or universities.
Yeah.
Well, universities, it's colleges. So that's a lot of people, and I don't know.
Goodbye, fucking shit school.
Exactly. The funny thing, though, is that you have all this fear balanced against the need for money, which, colleges need money. It's a beast that has to be fed. And so is college football, because college football pays for college soccer, college baseball. college lacrosse, college girls, everything.
A bunch of salaries in the athletic
department. Yeah, it pays for the athletic director, pays for the associate athletic director, it pays for the facilities director and all these positions they make up so they can blow all this money that the players don't get.
Yeah. I know. I think Jason Reed, the Michigan State offensive tackle, put it best where he said, guys are testing positive across the country left and right. Why is there just still a discussion on a season? Why is it taking so long to make a logical decision? Let me guess. Revenue! And that's a player.
Well, everyone knows
who is
that.
Stuck in the bubble now.
I feel sorry for him.
Because Michigan State's entire football team is quarantined, as is Rutgers.
Well, what would they do if it was the season and two teams just said, we're just going to have to be in a bubble for a while. Sorry. Bye. Then do they just take them off the standings and just...
I don't know.
May the safest team standing win at all?
So does that mean...
The team that still doesn't have coronavirus at the end of the season?
Do the Marlins win this weekend? Are they going to be 1-59?
Yeah, they did win. 58? I thought they won the series.
Okay.
Did they?
Well, cool.
They're technically in first place.
We'll finish ahead of the Blue Jays.
Did anybody watch the Tigers game yesterday?
No.
Brandon? No?
Wait, did they play
Yeah, they played.
Yesterday?
They played Sunday.
I want to say that they played before we did our show.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, because
that's right. Yeah, because we talked about it. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. I'm all mixed up. They're playing Monday night for the home opener. Well, if they play, if this isn't anything. It's just so crazy. It's kind of exciting, though, because it's new and it seems like it's going to clusterfuck out.
Oh, it's.
But maybe not. I mean, they're still going.
It's definitely entertaining.
It's very entertaining. I think it is.
For all the wrong reasons, but it's entertaining.
Are there people partying in the D today? Are there tailgating?
Yeah, Trudy, did Wheels do anything with opening day?
Yes, we mentioned that it was happening.
You didn't have an event down there?
There was an event to watch the game with Cincinnati on a big screen,
really?
But where Friday.
Was that an indoor event?
No, it was out. It was at Canterbury Village in Rochester. Randon knows where that is, right?
Did people go?
Yeah, a lot of people went, I guess. I mean, they did have tailgating. I use air quotes because I don't know exactly. There are places you can mingle around there, and it is pretty wide open.
It's unclear to me at the moment whether you did or did not attend.
I did not attend.
Okay.
No, I just knew a little bit about it because I've been there. So.
Amen.
Since we're on the sports topic, Kyrie Irving is putting out $1.5 million for WNBA players who are skipping the season. Did you see that story?
No, I didn't. Yeah. How many WNBA players? What do you mean skipping the season?
There's, I think, 4 or 5 that are not playing because of health reasons or because of social justice movements. I don't know why you could skip out on a contract because of that.
So he's paying them to protest?
He's paying them. He's put aside out $1.5 million.
Wait, what do you mean social justice? You mean there's people who aren't playing the WNBA?
And the name the people.
Because they're too busy with other stuff.
Was Kyrie Irving's big argument early in this thing, as he said we shouldn't even have an NBA season because it takes away attention from the current protests.
Oh, what an ego on that guy!
I think Dwight Howard maybe jumped on board, but aside from that,
little caveat with Kyrie though, he's not playing the season anyways because he has a shoulder injury. So it's really easy for him to take that stand because he wouldn't be playing.
Does he have a consecutive game streak he's kind of trying to keep alive or something by making everybody else not play?
No.
What a concept. But whether a person decided to fight for social justice, play basketball, focus on physical or mental health, or simply connect with their families, this initiative can hopefully support the priorities and decisions. In this article too, though, it points out where the top annual salary in the WNBA is $200,000.
Well, yes,
that's a lot of money.
That's
a lot of money. Aren't there other people that might want to cut of this $1.5 million and might need it a little more?
Maybe like the vendors?
The people that work for where's he at? Brooklyn now? That, you know, work the concession stands at Brooklyn? And maybe he did donate money to that. I don't know. I doubt it. It just seems a little bit pandering. It's crazy.
It does seem a little. Is he trying to get laid? Is that what he's trying to do?
In that case, he should have donated to the strippers of what's that strip club in Atlanta?
Oh, Magic City. Yeah.
Although they're probably getting enough NBA donations.
Yeah,
that's true.
They are. Off the books.
Oh, that's such a funny story. We should just call Magic City because they're open today, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Hall Financial Hotline is opening up. There we go. In fact, I'll just go ahead and mention Hall Financial first because they're great anyway. They're getting interest rates as low as 2.5%. It's crazy.
people are lowering their expenditure over the course of a loan by over $100,000 in quite a few cases. People sent me emails. I forwarded them to Hall. And, of course, the one guy who took 30-some days and felt guilty because he was disorganized and he caused their 19-day average to go down. People love Hall Financial. They don't want to be part of destroying their fabulous 1,500 five-star record. But, yeah, if you got an interest rate over 3.5, then it's just a no-brainer. You should call and find out because if you qualify, I mean, if your credit's good or good enough, you're going to save a lot of money. You might skip a couple payments, too, which people have also referenced. So give it a shot. Call Hall Financial, 248-308-5000, or go to davidallmortgage.com/DrewandMike, or click the link on our site, fill out the online form, and see if you can help yourself quite a bit with Hall Financial. Lower payments, better options, more personal attention. NMLS number 1467435. And Magic City. I don't know if you heard the story, Trudy. There was an NBA player. Wasn't that funny?
Yeah.
I mean, he's let out of the bubble for a funeral. It's like this real heavy thing. And then, hey, wait, there's a picture of him in a strip club with this rapper. What's going on?
Oh, that's
an old
picture. Ago.
That's an old picture. He just posted for old time's sake. But well, you're wearing masks. Oh, it's weird. We both had staph infections or something. I don't know. It's crazy.
But that's the NBA-issued mask from the bubble.
Was it really?
Oh, yeah.
That was Lou Williams hanging out with rapper. What is his name?
Jack Harlow?
I don't know. White guy.
Jack Harlow. What's popping?
And the funny part was that in the end he said he just stopped by to pick up food for the funeral party. Like, that was part of his day, and it just happened to be the bar that Jack Harlow was at, and he just, you know, just stopped by for a second, left.
He had an extra bubble mask for Jack Harlow. That's really cool.
That didn't work out well, did it? That didn't work out well at all, did it?
I hear the food there is excellent.
Trudy, I'm sure it is.
There's been a major defense of the food, and like, no, it's really good food. It's not like that. It's not like a strip club here.
Facebook, we're on Facebook Live, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then we have to mention Emergency Response Services Incorporated, because they would love to dry up your basement if you've got a mess down there. Call Emergency Response Services Incorporated, 877-JOB-DONE. Just get it on the fridge right now. Or the website, 877-JOB-DONE.com. Or both. Because if you have fire damage, storm damage, mold removal, or water, or COVID-19. If you've got COVID people walking around just infecting your house or
COVID-19!
Your vehicles, your business, just COVID everywhere, then you need to get Emergency Response Services Incorporated in there and eliminate it. They do disinfect of COVID-19. I'm sure that's probably pretty good business right now.
COVID-19!
Call 877-JOB-DONE or visit 877-JOB-DONE.com for Emergency Response Services Incorporated. If it's an emergency, it's on them. So, okay, Magic City. Let's see. Maybe they work in conjunction with the funeral home to provide. Maybe they were just catering.
Everybody loves their food. That's all I know.
Ah, oh, beautiful.
Do they get any girls there dance to this?
Why not?
It's a pretty famous strip club. A lot of rap stars have rapped about it.
Well, there's also Magic by the Cars. Perfect.
Thank you for calling the world famous Magic City. Our business hours are Monday through Saturday, 3 p.m. to 3 a.m. If you know the extension of the person you are trying to reach, you may dial it now.
Boobs.
Press 1 for reservations. Press 2 for employment opportunities.
Employment
press 3 for Katrina Smith. Ooh. Press 4 for Sharonita Zachary.
What is it like to watch
press 5 for the
woman
kitchen.
Swing around
press
on
stars for PC's options. For more information, please visit
www. What do you want me to choose? 2?
Sharonita.
I don't know.
I was under pressure.
I know, that was unnerving. I start getting the names, and like everyone knows everyone that works there. So disappointed.
Show me them big old titties. Come on.
Yeah.
Maybe they just don't answer the phone.
Stripping? Who said I was stripping?
It's a busy club, man.
The party you are trying to reach is not available to take your call. Please leave a message.
That's the worst restaurant ever.
All right. Whatever.
There are some other exciting numbers we can try. I did put a message in with Zeptune today.
Oh, Zeptune, the band, the Led Zeppelin cover band.
Who did a rooftop concert. I'm sorry, not a concert, rooftop protest, so they could get away with it in Santa, which is pretty brilliant.
Zeptune!
Pretty brilliant of them.
What did you think of the vocals, by the way?
I told Brandon and Trudy, Brandon's doing the wishy-washy.
I don't know. I did not hear. I heard somebody trying to sound like Robert Plant. It just was not. That didn't work out too
well. I'll be positive. I thought he looked like Robert Plant.
He did.
He looked more like
Robert
Plant.
To sing like him then.
There was a guy in my high school who looked exactly like Robert Plant, and he knew it, and so he started doing his hair exactly like him, and Robert Plant would get a new haircut, and Jason would get a new haircut. He looked exactly like him.
What
it was weird.
Jerk.
I know, did he pull chicks?
It's kind of annoying. Yeah, I think it worked. I think it
really?
Did.
Wow.
Yeah. He had really long, blonde, curly hair, and chicks dug him. I should look him up on Facebook and see if
you want to hear something.
Like
you
want to
play
Plant
some
now.
Zeptune?
Yeah. Let's hear some Zeptune.
Because Robert Plant aged really fast.
You know, isn't it weird that it seems like
Jason did too.
I find myself saying, God, rock stars, it seems like they age so well. They never lose their hair. You know, it all seems to work out so well. And of course, it's not true. Just not true.
Robert Plant actually aged faster than a lot of them for some reason.
Yeah, he looks really old in the face. Dr. Roche could make him look a lot younger real easily, couldn't he?
Yeah.
This dude is like 6'5", though. He looks really tall to be Robert Plant.
Wait, he sounds better on this one.
Well, there's a real high note coming up he's got to hit. Uh-oh, heads up.
A rock and roll!
It sounded worse out of my phone.
Oh, not good.
No. Okay, it's not perfect. The band sounds good.
Yeah.
I mean, you gotta love Zeptune for having a. Is it Zeptune?
Name. Yeah, Zeptune.
It sounds like a planet, too.
Like Neptune.
They're having a music protest. Like, hey, music, we need music. And you won't let us have music, so this is a music protest. And then they jam, and people just got off.
Yeah.
And the police came, and I guess they didn't arrest anyone. It was outdoors, too.
It was outdoor, yeah.
So it wasn't like people were cramped inside where you can more easily get COVID.
Oh, man. There's a big story in what's the big San Francisco newspapers? The Chronicle?
Chronicle. Yeah.
There's a story about this couple that just had to have their dream wedding at a real famous church there.
Yeah.
And so much so. And it's really, it's a little misleading, some of the headlines, because they did try to do some social distancing and that kind of stuff. The problem is they said, hey, everybody park in the structure behind the church and come up the back steps into the back door because they didn't want to get busted. Well, sure enough, somebody from the health department showed up and said, no, we're shutting this down. So then they go to a friend's house and get married in the yard, which why couldn't they do that in the first place? So, and then they have their nice little wedding and they leave and they go back to various parts around the country, people that were there.
Yeah.
I think 8 people tested positive for COVID.
Oh, nice super spreader wedding.
It's a little selfish, man.
Well, I saw that 35 lifeguards.
Yeah.
In New Jersey.
Boy, yeah.
Is that Jersey City?
Yeah.
But they were going to lifeguard parties.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, honestly, doesn't it just seem like, I don't know what the percentage is, but it seems like a lot of 25-year-olds and under just don't care. They just really don't care.
No.
They have grammatized fucker.
Well,
he's going to die anyway.
Like that. They're going to live forever.
Well, I remember that immortal feeling.
I know.
I mean, I'm not really being terribly judgy. I would just expect that there would be adults in their lives that would be influencing them in some way. But I guess 25-year-olds, they have to hear it from somebody who's an influencer or else they don't believe it, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
I get it. I understand why they would do that. However,
I do to a point.
Well, however, they want us to listen to everything they say and do everything they want us to do.
Yeah,
be super woke and not do certain jokes about things or say certain things. So, okay, if you want us to listen.
I think it goes both ways, Mark. I think it's they really.
It doesn't go both ways?
I think
that's
they
crazy.
Think that they should say everything.
And do whatever they want? Fuck you. No, it doesn't work that way, man.
When I saw the Surgeon General, honestly, the Surgeon General saying, you know, we really need some of these influencers to talk to these kids. In other words, they wouldn't listen to someone like the Surgeon General or the CDC.
But he looks pretty cool. The Surgeon General looks like a pretty hip guy.
But if it's somebody with a following, you know, who's really hot and takes great selfies, then yeah, I'd believe it. I mean, how stupid is it? That just makes, it makes people that age sound really dumb.
Well, all I know is about people that age, all they're interested in, according to Michael from Love on the Spectrum, is intercourse.
Well, that's certainly a high priority.
All they care about is intercourse. Oh, God,
that's
that shows
sweet,
the
though.
Best.
He cares about more than
shows
that.
The best.
A lot of people care about intercourse. A lot.
Well, those people only care about intercourse.
All right, I'm just pulling this out of nowhere, but as I was getting ready for the show, I was checking out sort of celebrity news, you know, just kind of getting ready at the last minute, and I saw this thing about Rebel Wilson. Rebel Wilson.
Her picture?
Sizzles in bikini, and I'm like, I just do not believe that Rebel Wilson is going to sizzle in a bikini. I just don't believe it. So I click on it, which was my own fault, and it's Rebel Wilson. First of all, she's like from sort of not even the waist up, like a little bit above the waist up. And I'm thinking, I don't think she's sizzling below the point that's in the water. I just don't think it's sizzling at all.
I thought you would actually like it because it's just two giant tubes.
Big old boobs.
Well,
yeah.
She has great boobs and all that. But why would, first of all, I don't know why she's running around trying to act like she's sizzling, because I think she is.
But she's losing weight. That's why.
She is.
Okay,
too.
That's
she's
great.
She's losing a lot of weight.
But why not just say, hey, you know what? I feel better. Everything's great. Instead of like having to put on some skimpy bikini, go, hey, look, I'm smoking hot now.
Yeah, because it's really, who wants to fuck me? Who wants to put a dick between these two tits? Come on.
Oh, come on. No. I just think that
she's playing up the fact that, hey, I'm as hot as anybody now. Take some weight off me and look how fucking hot I am.
Look, you negative Nancys. This girl has been typecast and she's made a career out of it. She plays.
But she's enjoyed being the fat, funny chick. She played along with it.
What's going to happen to that thing?
I'm not letting her play the sizzling hot chick now. You can't be the fat, funny chick and then be the sizzling hot chick 5 months later.
She plays the same character. She is the Jason Statham in female Hollywood. And she plays the exact same character in every single movie. Now she's getting shredded. She's losing weight. She wants to show off that body a little bit. Maybe you can get her some new roles.
All right, that's fine. I'm more
sizzling. I'm objecting to sizzling. And Mark, is she supposed to be sizzling in that picture?
Oh, God, if she's supposed here, let me put.
Did they say that?
Put it up for the Facebook people. You know what I'm more offended about is that she thinks she's funny, because I don't think I've ever laughed at anything she's ever said or done.
Really, I think she's kind of funny.
What, Trudy? What was she funny in? Name one thing.
Give me your
favorite Rebel Wilson line. What? What's your favorite Rebel line of all time?
I didn't realize Trudy was Rebel Wilson.
Pitch Perfect. I saw her in Pitch Perfect. I thought she was sort of funny in that.
She's the funny fat chick, isn't she? Really? I mean, I'm not trying to be a dick, but she's goofy and okay. I get it, but you can't go to sizzling from fat and funny.
Right?
Not overnight. Maybe over time.
Ryan on Facebook says she's looking for a guy to marry her bank accounts because she probably does have a good amount of money.
Yeah, I'm sure she does well. She won a big lawsuit too with.
Oh, that's right.
The Australian press, was it, or was it British?
I can't remember, but you're right. She did win a big.
And I forgot what they said. I think she said she was something she did. She was acting badly. Anyway.
This is funny. Don on Facebook Live. She looks like shit. And then followed by, hey, she's thinner than I thought she'd be.
She's pretty thin for her.
Oh, no. No, that's what I mean. It's all wrong to say she sizzles in a bikini. She does not sizzle in a bikini.
She's
it's all
yours,
wrong.
Trudy.
It's all. It should be, hey, I'm hotter than I used to be.
Well, that's fine. She's hotter than she used to be.
She is. I mean, you wouldn't argue with you. You go, yeah, good job. You're working hard. You're
glad
hotter than you used to be.
Live
I'm glad
longer.
You feel good. Yeah, you know, that's great. But so, I'm sizzling in a bikini. Whoa. Everybody wants to
her,
fuck
though,
me
because...
and none of you can. You. No.
I'll be the skinny one in that relationship, though. So that'd be kind of fun.
Then right below that was Kristen. It was actually, I think it was a tease, but the point was, Kristen Cavallari's revenge body.
What?
Because she's getting divorced. So I guess she's gotten hotter.
She was already hot, so, wasn't she?
Here's her revenge body.
She should be working on her revenge personality.
This is what Jay Cutler can't have anymore, even though he doesn't want it. He wants it less than anyone.
Jay Cutler's been there, done that.
I know. But they act like she's so much hotter now in her revenge body. And she looked too thin, which she looked before, I thought. She doesn't look any different. She has no hips. I mean, she's really cute and all that, but we know she's a real bitch.
That's the problem.
She's pretty. I agree. She's pretty, but Jay Cutler has done that.
Who wants Jay Cutler's sloppy seconds?
Nobody wants her less than Jay Cutler. Nobody wants her less. Nobody. Trust me. I know I'm right about this.
Well, maybe.
So there's no revenge there. In fact, he's going to be delighted when someone piles into her. It's like, oh, boy, that's one thing off my list.
Oh, God. Maybe Mitch Trubisky wants her. I'm trying to figure out who followed up Jay in Chicago.
Mm.
Sloppy seconds, man.
Trubisky?
Yeah, Mitch. I don't know.
And they have
Carson
Wentz,
Foles.
Right?
Foles.
Oh, Nick Foles, that's right. This Marlins thing is really exciting because if this thing doesn't get resolved, if this blows up baseball season, it's going to blow up football too, right? Because football plans to travel.
Yeah, I mean, I don't.
If baseball can't do it, there's no way football can do it.
With a larger roster and more physical contact? No way. No way. Maybe it'll be over by then.
You have to play inside.
That's wishful thinking.
Well, football.
A lot of it's outside.
A lot outside, but there is a lot of inside. You're right.
There's a lot of training and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What a disaster.
All right, so we talked about the Marlins. I wanted to talk about something that I thought was we brought up quite a few times, the Mike Dukakis tank picture.
Yes,
which it's so funny to look back on it now. It's like this guy. The reason it came up is because 32 years ago today, on this day in 1988, Michael Dukakis led George Bush in the polls, 55-38, mm-hmm. 17 points. But soon to come was the photo op of Mike Dukakis wearing a helmet in a tank. And that was so huge that we often, I think, we sort of consider it the turning point of the campaign was, my God, he looks so stupid in that helmet.
It was, big time.
I mean, it makes it sound a little bit shallow, but on the other hand.
You mean the helmet that said Dukakis?
It's stenciled on there. It looks so dumb. It looks like it's for summer camp.
Well, I told Drew, I said, the thing that really, I think, ruined him was the fact that he's got a tie on in the tank. No one has ever worn a tie in a tank.
It's so dumb. But the other thing that really hurt him, too, was Willie Horton, who he had furloughs in Massachusetts.
Not that Willie Horton.
No, not number 23 of the Tigers with the statue. The statue of Tiger's name is not to this Willie Horton.
And it's crazy because when you do just Google.
A lot of homers.
When you do just Google Willie Horton, that's the Willie Horton that comes up and not the Detroit Tigers Willie Horton.
It is?
Crazy. Yes.
Well, he kind of lives in infamy. I mean, is he alive, by the way? Willie Horton? This Willie Horton was furloughed. Massachusetts was very liberal about certain things, and one of them was, and Mike Dukakis, I think, was a believer in the policy, was that these horrible criminals, rapists, and et cetera, we're going to furlough them for weekends and see how they do. Let's just see what happens. See if they can go the whole weekend without raping anyone.
Ever.
I know. I thought it was really dumb, too. And Willie Horton was one of the furloughed people. And, of course, he raped someone. I think he killed her, too. So Lee Atwater, who was running Bush's campaign, said, by the time this election's over, they're going to think Willie Horton is his running mate.
Wow.
Because they did. Spent a lot of money on Willie Horton and putting him in commercials and all that. But whatever happened to Willie Horton? I don't even know.
He's still alive.
Is he?
Has he murdered anyone lately? Raped anyone?
He didn't go back to jail after that?
Yeah, he did. I think he did go back to jail. But is he still in jail? I mean, maybe that Chrissy Teigen bailed him out. She was bailing everybody else. Anyway.
The tank.
So,
the tank. Were you going back to the tank?
Yeah, the tank. September, it was actually. Today was the day the lead reached 17 points. The tank would come just a little bit later. And what I've forgotten was
where the tank happened, right?
General Dynamics in Sterling Heights. Oh.
The tank shot is in Sterling Heights?
Yeah. Yes, at General Dynamics.
Wow.
And Josh King was on the staff at the time, the advanced staff, who were responsible for all these events.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that many, many times since he's been in meetings, and he says some smartass will, you know, pop up and say, this has got the makings of Dukakis in the tank, you know, if somebody wants to put something down. And generally speaking, and Obama even said this once, any kind of hat or headgear on a president is just a no-no. A candidate or the president is just a bad idea.
Until 2016.
Well, yeah, Trump likes his hats, true. And the Bush Quail people also, all the ones you talked to,
MAGA.
They remembered it as the great gift, you know, like manna from heaven.
I'm trying to think. I can't think of any other presidents in a hat. Ford probably had a hat on.
I remember wearing a hat for golf hat, or something. Golf. A golf hat, yeah. Maybe, you know, but just generally not. And the example they gave was Obama was given some, I think it was a Naval Academy football helmet from 1949. I think somebody was, hey, put it on. And I guess he sort of like was thinking, put in there, that no, I'm not going to put this on.
Wow.
Because, you know, it's just a bad idea.
Look. Yeah.
So
I agree.
Bush, when Dukakis was way ahead, Bush had, if you remember, this is Bush's first term. Bush was the VP to Reagan at the time.
Yeah.
Bush
yeah.
won and then would lose to Clinton.
It was only one term, yeah, because of the economy.
Anyway, Bush had great national security numbers. People believed in him as far as, you know, he'd had all this experience.
Yeah.
And Dukakis had been in the Army for a couple of years, but really had no experience in national security. So that was what they kind of attacked him on. And meanwhile, Dukakis started attacking Reagan for overspending on nuclear weapons. And then this is kind of his line of attack, was that we need to spend more money on conventional weapons, you know, like tanks.
Oh.
So.
Tanks.
That's why they wanted to do this thing, and they were doing a series of appearances to show his desire to spend money on more conventional warfare.
That didn't work out well, did it? That didn't work out well at all, did it?
No, it didn't. But the interesting thing is I'm reading this story, and I read about three or four different stories about it. Bill Clinton was an aide on the campaign. He was the governor of Arkansas.
Well, didn't he
gave the speech.
Yeah.
Yeah, the last speech before Dukakis at the convention.
Like eight.
Which was, what, 5 hours long?
And it was
so much so he was on Carson or...
It was a big embarrassment. It was a total embarrassment, but Johnny Carson had him on, and he joked about it, and everybody kind of, you know, got past
him,
it.
Yeah.
But at the time, it was like the whole... Anybody watching was like, oh, my God, the worst speech, the longest speech, just all wonky stuff. But he was... part of their campaign staff, and
I never knew that.
More of a consultant, I guess. But anyway, he argued against this whole philosophy, and I appreciate his argument because he said that Dukakis was winning points, I guess, on caring about people.
Yeah,
Michael Dukakis cares about people. He would score much higher than Bush in that category, whereas he'd get murdered on stuff like national security because Bush had so much experience.
So you go with what works, not trying to.
I think that's almost exactly what he said. He said.
Good for you.
Don't be something you're not. Don't try to be something you're not.
That's still my favorite Clinton line.
Oh, yeah.
Good for you.
That was a town hall meeting.
Where do you work?
Amway.
Good for you. What the best answer. It's the only answer you could give.
I know. I would think you'd be so stymied by hearing
these
Amway.
These allegations are false.
What do you say to that?
You say, good for you.
Good for you. So... Dukakis is going to have a string of appearances before the Olympics get real heavy, I guess. And so they felt these were very important and maybe they would work on this national security thing. So General Dynamics was in the fray and he would give the speech on national security and he would ride the tank, which would be kind of the money shot, you know, the video that they need.
Not even drive it, ride it.
Yeah, he'd ride it because there's four other people that have to drive it. And there were a lot of concerns right off the bat because he's short. He's 5'8". And they thought him climbing on the tank, he would look really small. All these silly things they have to think about.
I
was thinking of Lovitz playing him on SNL when he gets in the behind the podium and he presses the button to raise himself up. So tiny.
I don't even remember him playing him, but that sounds just about right.
Yeah.
So they're concerned about the helmet. They're actually thinking about the helmet. He can't put on that helmet. No, he can't. And then they talk to General Dynamics. They got people there like a week ahead of time, and they're going through all this stuff, and people are riding the tank. Like, well, this is what it'll feel like when he rides the tank. I mean, that's how intense it is. And General Dynamics reveals that he must wear the helmet. Unless you want him to just do a real, like, 2-mile-an-hour chug, you know, just a show-me kind of a thing. I suppose we would consider it. But they said, no, it'd be kind of cool if the thing was just zinging around. And then it comes up real slow for the reporters and the camera people. And at that point, he can take his hat off or the helmet off. That stupid helmet. So there was a couple problems, one of which was they said Dukakis looked dumb in any hat. Didn't matter what kind of hat it was. He looked really dumb. He had big hair and just looked weird. And then they also felt that in terms of Dukakis not wearing the helmet, that he would be against it because as soon as he knew that it was a safety thing, he was a nut about seatbelts.
Oh, God.
And then there was the other issue, which was that the helmet has the earpiece where you can hear the other guys in the tank who are, you know, doing what they're doing. And Dukakis, of course, was a real nerd and would think that was cool. So they kind of felt that he would want to wear the helmet.
Oh, boy.
So it was determined they would do a couple full-speed runs further away and to demonstrate this great tank, and Dukakis is on the top. Why is he on the top, too? I mean, it just looks so dumb. And then they would slow up. He'd take the helmet off, and then he would give a little speech. And they actually thought about, you know, let's skip this thing altogether. Let's just have him kick the tires or something. And they just decided that just wasn't enough. That was not enough in terms of pictures. I know, what are you going to do if he doesn't ride the tank? So the full-speed plan's in effect, and the run, for some reason, whoever's driving the tank doesn't realize they're supposed to be far away.
Full speed ahead.
And they actually attempted to loop close to the reporters. And when they did, first of all, the reporters howled with laughter. They all laughed. And they got the pictures.
Loser!
And not only that, the next day at Bush Quail headquarters, Bush Quail sounds so dumb, doesn't it? Quail. Oh my God, that was
as dumb as
a debacle.
Dukakis Benson?
Benson? Lloyd Benson?
Was that it?
Yeah, it was Lloyd Benson.
Yeah.
You are no Jack Kennedy.
he was sort of grizzled.
He was grizzled.
Yeah. Well, they said, yeah, he was a grizzled. He was a guy. I trusted him, I guess. Just he seemed, and he spoke in such a stately manner.
Senator, you're no Jack Kennedy.
Oh, the crowd went crazy. Anyway, at 7 a.m. the next day when they showed the clip for the Bush Quail campaign group, it was described as they convulsed with laughter.
That's all of America.
And not only that, they said the tank picture lived with the Bush communications people for weeks after on all these, you know, inter-office communications, be like, yeah, thank you very much, and no tanks, and all these stupid little things that plays on tank. And eventually, the tank became such a big deal because Bush ran a commercial with him on the tank.
And that's really the only place you can find footage of it.
Michael Dukakis has opposed virtually every defense system we developed. He opposed new aircraft carriers. He opposed anti-satellite weapons. He opposed four missile systems, including the Pershing II missile deployment. Dukakis opposed the stealth bomber.
Boy, that does look dumb, him cruising around on that tank.
Against nuclear attack. He even criticized our rescue mission to Grenada and our strike.
Here he comes, starts the camera.
And now he wants to be our commander-in-chief. America can't afford that risk.
Oh, my God.
My guy looks so silly.
He looks so dumb.
Bush had a line in his speeches, which he used frequently, which was, you cannot fool the Soviet leadership by knocking America's defenses for 10 years and then riding around in a tank for 10 minutes.
Brilliant.
Pretty good. And they ran that commercial during Game 3 of the World Series. Dukakis tried to run a comeback ad, which also showed him in the tank, and they said the comeback ad just reminded people of seeing him in the tank. Anytime you see him in the tank,
that
it was just...
didn't work out well, didn't it? That didn't work out well at all, did it?
In the end,
is this
he
why
got,
Kitty started drinking? Was it, you know, all this?
I don't remember when that was, but she did. Didn't she drink perfume or cologne at some point
Windex,
during the campaign?
Wasn't it Windex? Wasn't that a big one?
I don't know if it was that. I think that would have killed her. But
I think it was perfume. I think it was Michael's cologne or her perfume.
Cologne. Wow.
Alcohol. And I was like, why would you do that? Because I didn't realize there was alcohol in there.
Yeah.
It seems like a pretty...
Mouthwash. She was big on mouthwash.
Why not just go get a beer at 7-Eleven?
Well, because then Mike...
Well, send somebody.
Didn't we see her on 60 Minutes recently? Because she got her brain zapped to get over someone. That was wild. Yeah. And it worked.
She seemed to be
well adjusted now, both of them.
Anyway, in the end, they did run a poll and asked people, were you less likely to vote for Michael Dukakis because of the tank ride? 25% said yes.
Well,
that's kind of amazing. But really, he lost by a lot. I mean, he Bush smoked him in the end, but he was ahead by 17 points.
Here he is at the debate. There's George Bush at the podium. Lovitz, all you see is Lovitz's head. And now he's pressing a button that lifts him up. Such a good sight gag.
Looks like George Stephanopoulos there.
He does a little bit. Well, I think there was, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think there was a big argument going into that debate about the height of the podiums and stuff. I mean, there always is.
Our panel of questions are Elizabeth Dowd of the Cleveland Plain Dealer, Sam Donaldson of ABC.
Neilan did such a good Sam Donaldson, too.
Oh, I like this. And there was a stretch there. I thought it was so good. But I do remember that in Massachusetts, people used to joke that he always, always, always would find a way to say, I'm the son of Greek immigrants. Yes, that was his big thing, was he was the son. He was a first-generation American, but it didn't help too much in the end, unfortunately.
Why would that have helped?
He thought it was a romantic.
He's an American success story.
Oh, I get it. Okay.
It was romantic. So meanwhile, from Trump territory, we have the first pitch canceled, but we also got the all-star lineup for the convention, which, I mean, when you get the likes of Scott Baio, Ted Nugent, Anthony Sabato Jr., and Diamond and Silk, weren't Sabato and Baio in it last time?
So Diamond and Silk were, too.
They were?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. So Nugent's the only...
Who was the
person that got traded? Wasn't there someone else, or was that it?
Who got traded?
I thought there wasn't a fourth person last time. They just added Nuge to last time?
I mean, they had a bunch of, you know, politicians and other people step up and talk.
No other celebrities?
Not celebrities, no.
Like, wouldn't Kid Rock be a better pick than Scott Baio?
Maybe he doesn't want to do it.
Really?
I don't know. Maybe not.
I'd be surprised.
Because it isn't the convention. It's all...
Oh, it's on Zoom.
Via Zoom.
Okay. So it's not big enough.
Well, if you were him, would you do it?
Well, I wouldn't have done it.
I'll roll through the 2016.
There's a lot of things that I wouldn't do if I was Kid Rock, but he seems to somehow feed off it. I mean, he, like the whole business of even getting involved in politics on that level, I just don't think I would do that. I wish he had never done it, but I mean, he's happy.
I can tell you the big star that Nuge was replaced, who he replaced.
Oh, who?
That would be Willie Robertson, the star of the reality television show Duck Dynasty.
Oh!
Is that because he has an illegitimate child now? Is that why? Is it him that has the one of the Duck Dynasty ones? Dude.
Really?
Yeah.
Dana White was also there from the UFC.
Did he speak?
Did some speaking. Yeah, he did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are we on
trying
Facebook?
To see.
Yeah. Okay. Is he stuck on Fight Island?
I'm sorry?
Nothing. Go ahead. Continue.
Yeah, Fight Island is still a go. And then the rest of them is just pundits and Republicans for the most part.
James Woods be better than Scott Baio? I mean, James Woods was a star.
No, you know who they should.
Joe Arpaio was on there.
Lord.
Frank Tarkenton?
Frank Tarkenton?
Boy, that's
Fran
really Tarkenton. Reaching.
They should man, get, I'm breaking up with him.
They should get...
Fran was a great
Peter,
player.
Peter
great
Thiel. Scramble.
Oh, but he's had a falling out with Trump, Peter Thiel.
Okay, what about...
They should get Clint Eastwood so he can talk to a chair again.
I know, that was very memorable. What about John Voight? That's another pretty famous guy.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Well, John Voight just made some video, he just made some film about Trump.
He is all in on Trump.
Sounds like a great one.
I think Scott Baio is, I mean, that's a really weak, weak link. Scott Baio? Plus, he did it last time. I mean, it just sounds like he's the only guy you can get, doesn't it?
A little bit, because they were there last time. I think Sabato's even worse, isn't it?
Definitely.
What is Sabato's? Where is he in the entertainment world now? Does he have nothing going on?
No.
I couldn't tell you.
I mean, those are horrible picks. I can't believe they can't get James Woods. And I would think Woods and Voight would be 20 times better, wouldn't they? Or are they looking for young people?
Well, they're not terribly young either.
No, they're not.
At least
it says since 2014, Sabato has served as the host of the 30-minute-long syndicated home remodeling show, Fix It and Finish It.
Yeah, boy.
at least Scott Baio presents an image of, you know, being strong and in charge.
Getting hosed.
Well, being in charge of things. And he was Charles in charge.
That's so true.
Shows that he can run a household.
Sounds like a great one.
We should bring him on with this song.
Okay, I'm really embarrassed to ask this. Is the name of the show because Charles was in charge of the household?
Yeah, he was like the manny. He was like the male
babysitter.
Did you guys know that, Trudy? Yeah.
Oh.
I did not.
I really had no idea.
I had no idea what he was in charge of either.
I watched the show religiously.
Mark, you have great television knowledge from the 80s, I have to admit. You are pretty
strong.
That
was my era, my man.
Yep.
Loved it.
I watched Hamilton for Mark. Mark made me do that.
How'd that make you do it?
Wait, did you just watch it, Trudy?
I just did, yeah.
All right, night. Hamilton.
How'd you feel at the 2-hour-and-35-minute mark?
Weary, a bit weary.
Just a bit weary?
Well, there was some fast-forwarding happening.
What? What'd you fast-forward?
When did you? I want to know when you first fast-forwarded.
In between, I fast-forwarded to the duel.
Wait, time, please.
Oh, God, you don't get it. Please don't.
Please don't get to plot points. How far in time-wise? Like an hour in, 2 hours in?
Well, how long is it?
240.
Oh, like 240. I want to know. Wait, I do want to know what you skipped. You went to the duel.
No,
which duel? There's
plot points.
Spoiler.
We're
there's three
to
duels.
Fast forward. Just tell us how far in when you fast forward first.
It was about 2 hours and 15 minutes.
Oh my God! That means it was just actually dredging to an end. Wait, you couldn't stand 25 more minutes?
That means you missed the affair. Did you miss the affair?
No, I didn't. No, I saw the affair.
In the room where it happens?
I saw his wife write him off, and that was kind of it.
Alert.
I got to believe, Trudy,
that's foreshadowing.
If you're 2:15 into something and you fast forward, that means you are desperate for it to end because you can't even can't even live through 25 more minutes of it.
Would you recommend it?
I guess I would. I liked the performances in a general sense. I thought it was a good musical.
Yeah. Who do you think she's supposed to say she likes it? So she says she likes it?
No, I do like some of those. I mean,
those songs are good, man.
I like the treatment. I mean, the fact that it's
What's your favorite
wrapped
song? Let's jam out. What's your favorite song from the soundtrack?
Me?
No, Trudy.
Oh,
Trudy likes to rock. Trudy knows music. I'm sure she's going to come up with a real doozy.
I'm sure she liked the Beatles-inspired King George songs.
That was funny, and I like the one where they're like, oh, you know, like they jump up and say, oh, what's that one, Mark? You've seen it a million times.
Let's crank it up.
How far in? What song, Trudy? I don't know.
It was the one Hannibal.
It's pretty memorable
was
so far.
Shut up. I'm not even playing any music. You're just going to shit on it.
What? Come on.
Well, I liked some of it, Mark. You're getting me wrong here.
This is the Beatles-inspired breakup song of King George III.
I didn't hear Trudy pick that one.
Did you like this song, Trudy?
I did like this. I like the fact that it was Beatles-inspired, too. You told me that.
It's also Annie's favorite.
But it's not the Beatles.
It's King George. Why so
sad? Oh, boy.
What?
Well,
he's singing about breaking up with America. It's pretty
really funny.
Now you're making me mad. It's Mad King George because he went insane in his later years. So that's a good lyric, good reference.
It's fun when I get email about Hamilton because people either reluctantly admit that they think they liked it or they just trash it. But there's nobody who doesn't at least qualify liking it for some reason.
I do.
Phenomenal.
I liked it, but it was too long. It went quite long.
Most people that like it, Trudy, will watch it at least twice or three times. Do you plan on seeing it again anytime soon?
Oh, God, you don't get it.
Maybe.
I can tell.
Really?
Really? Maybe. I don't know.
It's better.
I don't know.
It's better the second time.
It depends. It depends on how.
Yeah. I love when people say that.
You'll catch foreshadowing, and you'll catch.
You know,
there's a lot of tricky things you don't see the first time. You'll catch the bullet.
I saw some clickbait today that said, and normally I would click on this, but I'm really trying to tighten the screws as far as clickbait. It said that the three movies that all three parts are considered good, as in like you know, so it's like Rocky II, Rocky III. Oh. Like they're all good. And I was like,
Godfather qualified?
I really wanted to click. I didn't click on it, so I don't know what they were.
Oh, well,
I found that hard to believe. Godfather qualifies.
Godfather III wasn't good.
No, people debate about it, but I think in retrospect now, people do appreciate Godfather III. They just didn't like it at the time because it wasn't one or two.
Mm.
Same with Brandon. Brandon will be with me on this. Back to the Future, 1, 2, and 3. Because 3, people hated 3, the Western one, when it came out. But now, looking back on it, people actually appreciate it more.
Yeah, they're starting to like it a little bit more. I remember hating it because number 2 was so great. Number 1 was so awesome. But 3 was like, meh.
What else could have?
What about Star Wars?
Well, the second one's the best. Yeah,
I might have been in there. I should have just clicked.
Speaking of clickbait.
I can't think of many where all 3 are good.
Breaking news.
Baseball's canceled. What?
No.
What's going on?
What? What happened?
That RNC speaker lineup is a bunch of malarkey. It's fake.
It's fake?
What? It was in your prep. It can't be fake.
What? We've been duped.
I know. Everybody's been duped. In fact, the AP has had to write a story telling people not to spread it because apparently some dude, Mike Sington, who is a blue check mark on Twitter and a senior executive at NBC Universal.
You are fake news.
He put it out as a joke, and the entire world has picked it up.
Now MSNBC is foam at the mouth deception.
Did he really
do it as a joke?
Well, yeah, the AP contacted him, and he said, let's see.
I just want to say this. I could swear I saw it in some real media, not just social media.
That's what Brandon's
saying. It's
being
reported.
The AP had was it a retraction, or did they write a story on it?
I don't see the retraction. It's just...
okay, then they just did a story on it to say
the story was...
They did a fact check because the claim is, here is the lineup, and then the AP's assessment is, this is false.
You are fake news.
A tweet claiming the speakers were announced for the Republican National Convention was meant to be... it was just meant to be a joke.
I know why you believed it.
But Scott,
why?
Because they showed a Zoom, like, multi-window picture of all the people.
They did.
And because it was from a blue check mark from some NBC executive.
And it was in Brandon's prep.
That's why I believed it, yeah.
Well, I apologize, but I didn't. Do I have to check AP's fact-checking site before?
Well,
this is such media gaffes now are just no big deal.
But is Colin
Patrick's dead for four, or he's out for 4 days. No, he's not out.
But is that a gaffe, or is that just a joke that was too stupid that people?
Well, if mainstream media, actual media picks it up, I think it's a gaffe.
Well, who picked it up? That's what I want to know.
I only see like hillreporter.com that actually wrote about it. I don't know. Some of this stuff might have been taken down.
That's true.
Yeah, there was another story today that was way off. I'm trying to remember what it was. Seems like it was a sports story. Well,
you mentioned JV.
Oh, yeah, Justin Verlander. That was the story. He was out for the season, and it was, it was done over exclamation point. And then all of a sudden today says, I'm not out for the season.
Not today. Last night. He was like, wait a minute. What's going on here? I ain't out. I'm only out for a couple of weeks.
So how'd that get reported that he was out for the season?
Doesn't that seem to happen in sports? A lot. In sports.
It was because of an Astros beat writer who jumped the gun.
Yeah.
I thought that one was pretty bad,
that
honestly.
Happens in sports a ton.
Not that they're out for the season, then they
people,
aren't
but
out for
people
the season.
Report rumors like crazy that end up not being true at all.
I don't know.
Like his girlfriend had an affair or something.
That one seemed pretty bad.
It's crazy.
How come no one talks about that anymore? Was that a legit thing or what? Did Avisail Garcia nail Prince Fielder's wife or what?
Well, I think we're all just going to accept it as it being true.
The media, did the media actually report on that? I don't think they did.
Are there two different stories?
It was a rumor.
Isn't Avisail Garcia about Prince Fielder?
Yes.
Yeah.
Isn't that what I said?
Oh, you said I didn't hear you say Prince Fielder. I thought you were still talking about JV because wasn't JV's girlfriend? Wasn't there something there with the traveling?
Oh, yeah, but that was like before he was married with
that was
some
his
random girlfriend when he was
ex-fiance.
Like 20.
No, she wasn't that rando. He'd been with her for a long time.
I know, but that wasn't the Caped Upton, and I don't know.
I think
it wasn't that big of a story.
Didn't the guy get blown out?
Yeah,
which is kind of weird.
Anyway, I love rumors.
Let me mention our friends in Royal Oak because there they are, waiting for you to spend your Royal Oak bucks. You got your $20, because you went to visitroyaloak.com. And in fact, some people are saying, I mean, sometimes that doesn't sound real, but some people really are saying that they may put out more Royal Oak Bucks. What? If you didn't get your $20 e-gift card, stand by for an announcement, because there just might be a big pile of cash coming again. There's already $400,000 out there in e-gift cards, and people are spending them, and they're delighted. The retailers are delighted. The bars are delighted. The restaurants are delighted. Everybody's so happy, and they've got the $10 off on Lyft. If you use GO2RO, G-O-2-R-O, go to Royal Oak. That's your code for Lyft. Get $10 off to go, and get $10 off going home. And there's some rumors there, too, that Uber might be jumping in on the action. So must be doing very well. And they got free parking through July and August. So Royal Oak is really just knocking it out of the park. And I saw somebody on Facebook, I think he's a Ferndale business, who was kind of whining. Well, not whining. He was pointing out that as much as he likes to rip Royal Oak, you know, because Ferndale, we don't want to be the next Royal Oak.
Yeah.
That he wished Ferndale was doing something Royal Oak was doing. Yeah. Understandable. Some people are really struggling out there. So spend your money, everybody, and use Lyft. It's 5 p.m. to 2 a.m. Thursday and Friday. $10 off going in and $10 off going home. $20. That's like $40 for the night that they're coming up with for you. So you can have fun in Royal Oak, downtown Royal Oak, at places like Rail and Anchor, 515, Trattoria de Luigi's.
Next!
I think I know what that is. Mint Haircrafting. Alchemy Color Lab. Blue Jean Blues.
Next.
Funky 7. Your personal jeweler. And so on and so forth. Then there's Deco Doug, of course, my friend. And Zach Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram and DealsInTheD.com is all fired up because everybody's back. Everybody's at full strength. Social distancing, the whole bit. Even if you don't want to go there, you can still purchase a car very easily delivered to your doorstep. All the Zod dealerships are on board, and they've got their Drive Forward event at Zach Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, and they've got some great deals for you, like the 2020 Ram Quad Cab Bighorn for only $188 a month. Jeeps, how about a 2020 loaded Jeep Compass at just $155 a month? And the new 2020 Jeep Grand Cherokee as low as $247 a month. And, of course, there's Wrangler. Get your Zot employee pricing for everyone, 0% financing, and $1,500 in rebates if you want a new Jeep Wrangler right now. Speaking of right now, go to DealsInTheD.com and see what your options are at Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. And good to have him with us all along.
Is Facebook over?
Oh, yeah, it has
been. Yes, it is.
Oh, good.
So I got to find a Kleenex.
So you can eat. Go ahead and eat. Everything's fine.
Excuse me.
So, Brandon, I'm seeing another. Now people are just jumping all over the joke of the RNC lineup.
Oh, you know, it's just another social media tag in a way, and it'll happen.
Nice joke, dude.
Did you guys read the Harry and Meghan story by Piers Morgan yet?
No. You know what? I'm overwhelmed with Harry and Meghan stories because that book dropped over, Thursday? And so everybody's pouring through it. And when I mean everybody, I mean the British media and the New York Post and just posting tons of stories. I can't even keep up with it. What did Piers
say? The best
about
one
it?
To read is the Piers Morgan one. And he works for the Daily Mail, right?
Yeah. He's the editor.
It's so spot on. It really is. It's well done. It's about the book and how they compare themselves to Nelson Mandela.
Oh my God, yeah.
And
I saw that he called them tone deaf, whiny brats. And,
oh wow, yeah.
I mean, ultimately, what are we looking at here? We're looking at a prince who everything is given to him and handed to him, and he wants to break out, and he's got this new American beautiful actress who is going to take him back to America and start a new life where he can earn it on his own. But first, daddy's got to give him $5 million a year for the next couple of years just so he can get started. And he shows up and says, hello, I'm Prince Harry. And everybody tosses him money. He's already on a bunch of boards. Well, he's already doing this, that. It's stupid.
This is a surprise to few. It sounded like she was a total bitch to,
oh hell yeah,
you know, the old royal ways of doing things, and she wanted to do it her way. And so they got really mad at that. It's like, who are you to waltz in here, especially
if
you're American, to just waltz in here and tell us how the royals are supposed to do things? Which, to me, it's like, what side do you want to take? Because they're both stupid.
I love that. William and Kate sent her flowers.
I didn't know you wanted to get involved with the discussion, Mr. Helper.
Jesus. Kate sent flowers to try and, I guess, smooth something over. I don't know what it was, something dumb, of course. And Meghan's response was, it's not enough.
Oh, it's not enough.
And then he said, it's the thought that counts. They also called her Harry Showgirl.
They also called him the kidnapped prince.
Yeah, that's a good, that's a solid line.
Yeah.
What the part that I can't stand, obviously she sounds like a complete beast and just a power-hungry big head on the highest order, but I can't stand that we're still spending so much time on these
idiots.
Because
of that book, yeah.
I know, and this book is like, who buys these books? But they do buy them, don't they? I mean, this book will probably be a bestseller.
Mm-hmm.
But save your money on the book. Just read the article.
I couldn't believe the Mary Trump book sold a million copies the first day. I was like, really? But I guess people just can't get enough certain subjects. And this one, I don't know. I just hope it fades out. I can't. I don't know if I can be on a planet where people talk about these people as often as they talk about them now for much longer.
Now this book's out, hopefully it'll subside a little bit.
I hope so. I hate too that she's suddenly an expert on mental health, and she's an expert on the environment, and she's going to lecture us.
She does speeches to empower women. What kind of advice are you giving them?
She married a rich royal. I know, and she's an expert on racism too. It's like,
well,
you married a royal. You married in the most racist organization possibly ever in the world, and you completely blew them off, and you've taken advantage of every element of it.
But since then, she's been studying with the leaders of BLM. So.
That's ridiculous.
And she's speaking on, they're speaking on the environment they're giving.
Yes.
Speeches. Well, come on.
Remember Elton John bought all their carbon
units?
But
that market's already cornered.
How dare you?
Someone's got to face up to Greta. She's in charge of that stuff. You can't just waltz in. What if Greta and Meghan Markle in a huge fight?
We will never forgive you.
I would pay to see that. I'd be so excited to see those two fight.
People are dying.
And it's you, Meghan and Harry.
I would be wildly rooting for Thunberg. Wildly. Isn't that funny?
This is what gets her back on everybody's good graces. She takes out Harry and Meghan.
Oh, what fun that would be. Well,
you are failing us.
There's some local news today, and I always try to get that to you quickly because everything's local in the end.
I did not find. By the way, I wanted to mention, you were talking about Dukakis' tank. There's got to be somebody in the listening audience.
Oh, who was that Sterling Heights that day?
To.
Yeah,
you're
right.
Who drove that tank?
People have to know who
drove that tank.
You know what? Also,
somebody handed him that helmet.
You know what else I picked up on?
Come on, man.
Dukakis probably wouldn't be able to do that today, not in late July of 2020, because then it seems like that company has given him a bet. And what I mean by that, there's a huge thing with Blake's Orchard in Armada.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah, they were going to have, I think it was a representative or somebody wanted to hold an event there. And they always
rented the place out.
I gotta tell you, they always
open up their events to anybody. And
I believe Blake's statements in that, hey, we rent this out to anybody in the open, you know, in fairness, but here they're planning a big, you know, spectacle with
it was a Trump campaign event.
Yeah, including that
featuring a local congresswoman
and the sheriff from Milwaukee, the black sheriff, is a Sheriff Clark, and Corey Lewandowski was going to be there, and they're like, this is a little bigger than what you know, we wanted, but she used Blake's Orchard in the press materials for it.
Well, yeah, you don't know where to go.
Angered them, and they pulled.
Well, it angered them because it angered other people at them, and so they start taking all this shit. You know, you racist, you have a Trump event. Now, if it was a Biden event, would people really give a fuck?
Oh, I'm sure some people would be mad.
Really?
Yeah, not to a Trumpian level.
I mean, there in Armada, I don't know. I don't think you're going to see a lot of Biden signs up there in the thumb as much as I just went
I
to
just
Port Austin.
Complaining about it.
I just went to Port Austin on Saturday. All I saw everywhere, Trump flags and Trump signs all over the place. Didn't see one Biden one. Maybe we'll see more as, you know, after the primaries or whatever. But
wait,
where is
Brandon? Where'd you see all these signs?
On my way up to Port Austin to do some kayaking.
I
just drove up Van Dyke all the way to the tip of the thumb. And as you drive along, I just saw a ton of them. It was interesting to see. So.
Well, he's down 12 points in Michigan, CNN says, as of yesterday. But, you know, in reading the story about Dukakis.
Full disclosure, by the way, one of our former interns is married to one of the Blake's famous people.
Okay.
Did you know that?
I did not.
Full disclosure, one of the people that I'm married to went to school with the Blake's people.
Which Blake?
Full disclosure, I eat their peaches.
Full disclosure, I drink their cider.
I have nothing to disclose here.
What?
But what I was going to say about the tank story was within the tank story, possibly because of General Dynamics hosting it, they mentioned that 62% of people now, when asked, said they are reluctant to disclose their political affiliation for fear of backlash.
That's
pretty
62%.
Sad.
I know, that's pathetic. Mm-hmm. It's terrible. And I'm not sure why it's allowed to continue. Like the school teacher that got fired, who said Trump is our real president, or is our president, the real Donald Trump,
oh,
president.
Yeah.
And he did have the one previous post where he said liberals are nuts or liberals are stupid or something. And he quickly took it down, according to his mother. I can't believe that guy's fired. I just would have thought that the teachers union would have immediately gotten that overturned, or pressure from the public, or people would be pissed and he'd be invited back. But I haven't heard anything of the sort.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't
that... That's weird.
Fired with a union?
Yeah. Well we heard that he didn't have the support of his union, which I don't understand why.
Because he was a Trump fan, I would assume. I don't know why else. Because unions will support
anybody
people that you
for
go,
anything.
You got to be kidding me.
He would have been better off nailing one of his students.
You're right. He would have.
Well, I don't think they would support him with that.
You never know. They'd probably have a hearing. So, anyway, on the local front, there were some items of import. One was surprising news that Jamie Samuelson has cancer, but he has had it for, I think it was diagnosed 2 years ago, and he's faithfully fighting it and doing well, and, of course, wish him nothing but the best.
I left him a message today, and I said, the most amazing thing is, how did you keep it quiet in this town for damn near 2 years? Because everybody talks about everything here.
Yeah, it seems, most people would have posted about it.
No, but I mean, if he told someone in that, you know, at least in the sports radio world, you tell somebody something and then everybody knows it within a day.
Did he miss much work? Because I don't recall. I've been listening a lot, but
I think he was out a lot, and people were like, "Hey, Jamie's got another week off."
Oh, that had to be hard. Too.
Little did they know.
Well, there was also a police involved shooting in Detroit, the third one in just about a month, I think, and. You know, they had really not had any shootings of that sort in quite a while. But this one was another one where there was a guy who they saw on the green light?
Yeah, I forget what they're called.
The monitoring system. And they saw this guy dealing drugs, obviously, at a gas station. And they also saw that he had a gun in his waistband. And so they knew that before they sent police out there. They went out there and... He ran, and I guess he threatened to shoot, or he told the officers to drop their guns or something. I heard a couple different accounts, but the bottom line was that he did have a gun. It was a semi-automatic handgun, and they found it a couple feet behind him. I guess there was some kind of a the guy ran away, and they chased him, and he threatened them, and they shot him. And
not dead, though, by the way.
No, he's not dead.
So, little distinction to be made there.
And
not that far away from here, by the way, either.
No, it could have been me. Absolutely could have
been
me.
You were in Plymouth and Wyoming.
Wyoming. And the other shooting they showed a video of today.
Like that could have been me.
Where this guy was being chased, and I forgot what he had done. He might have been involved in the shooting himself. Anyway, they show him getting out of the car with a pistol in his hand right around the time he was shot. So that video seemed to back up Detroit police. And did anybody see Chief Craig today? Because he spoke.
Did not, no.
He was asked why there seemed to be so many confrontations with police, and he gave a few reasons, one of which was the general, what's the word he used? Just sort of the disrespect of police and all the, you know, there's been a lot of horrific publicity and attention given to bad police work, and so just a general disrespect for the police. And also he felt there was a general, I don't think it related so much to police, but just a general lawlessness going on. People are emboldened for some reason, and I'm not sure how to explain that because it's everywhere. In fact, I saw a video upstairs about an hour ago.
Crime's down.
Oh, Yahoo. I saw a video upstairs before I came down, which reminded me of, you know, it's not as good a video, but you know, the one at Coney Island, which is just like, oh my God. And the one at the gas station, too, where the guy just goes running up to the car and just boom, 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 boom. And then he takes off, the guy who's not wearing a shirt. Anyway, this was a guy who is, a car is driving by a basketball court in New York, and a guy just pops up through the sunroof and just shoots three kids. Kills an 18-year-old, kills a 16-year-old, and injured a 17-year-old. And just
is that the one where he popped out of the sunroof?
Yeah. Yeah, boy.
Yes. That would be the one. And did you watch it, Brandon?
Well, yeah. That's why I was asking, and I didn't hear you already say that.
Well, how'd you know I already said it?
Because of the reaction when I said
what?
It.
I'm very sorry about our
nobody
reaction.
Said thanks we're for listening mean, to the podcast.
Because we're mean.
Oh, if you think you're mean, wait till you hear the boner line today.
He had a very dejected reaction based on our reaction.
Well, were we supposed to pretend that it hadn't been said? Would that have been better?
No.
Are you asking me or Brandon?
Brandon.
I'm not conceding to the fact that I said it, so.
He was diligently pursuing something to help the show.
Were you mad at us and our reaction, or were you mad at yourself because you missed it?
I'm just talking to Trudy from here on out, guys, so just continue on.
You are failing us.
We're dicks.
Did you see Trudy's expression when it all happened? Because I think she might have been amused.
Wait, that makes it sound like you're based on my reaction.
What were we talking about, by the way? I don't know.
The guy popping out of the sunroof?
Yeah, we were talking about a shooting.
I don't understand why he's talking to Trudy and he's not talking to us. I think he should be not talking to her, too.
And I did see video of it, and it just it appeared as somebody, I mean, just
like
as it's
like Mike Dukakis.
Somebody, yeah, they popped out. They didn't have a helmet, and instead of pointing at the camera, they pointed a weapon, and it was just, it's brutal.
And there's a big wahoo at the end, like, yee-hoo! Like, really? Whoa, wasn't that fun? Yeah.
Well, why did he shoot him? Was it a
gang
motivated?
I'm not sure they know why, but I don't think they feel. I don't think anyone feels it was too justified.
No, I mean, I don't think it is either. I'm just curious.
But I mean, well, there's
I'm glad the world's insane and everyone's trying to kill each other.
The world is insane, and honestly, you know what else was I thought interesting today was I'm reading a story about the guy who was murdered. Or killed, or whatever it is, in Austin. The guy that was interviewed, he's got his AK-47, and he's talking about how they're taking our rights away. We can't protest, so I'm exercising another right, meaning to bear arms. And he approached a car that was attempting to drive through this protest, and I believe the car was stopped, and people were surrounding the car, and the guy shot him dead. And you know, it was a little, we had a couple of accounts of it. His mother claimed that, you know, he didn't do anything. The guy just shot him, like he executed him. The police were not quite there. They said that they had interviewed the guy, and he said that he was threatened by, I believe, the guy with the AK-47, among others. I mean, it is a threatening. We've seen it a million times when people surround a car that's driving to a protest or trying to get through a protest. Anyway, today they have a frame of that which shows the guy with the AK-47 is approaching the vehicle and he's got his AK-47 and it's kind of threatening looking, I would say.
Well, because here's the thing, because I did see this yesterday and I was going to bring it up, but it kind of seemed like it got debunked pretty quick because
did you see the picture today?
There is a photo. And, yeah, that photo's been out ever since the story's been out. And where they kind of go through and they say, here it is. Here's the picture of him next to the car. And they try. But,
well, it's the closest picture they can find. I mean, it's, right. I guess it's the frame where he's the closest to the car.
But that, there's no indication that he's actually pointing it at the car. What it is it's on his chest. You know, it's secured to his chest and it's facing down. And you can see that he does have his hand on
his hand
weapon.
Is on the trigger. I mean, it is.
But
I would
the
say
barrel
is
the barrel's pointing to the ground, but
not,
he does walk up to the car. And
okay,
so if a guy
not,
sees that, he reacts.
It's not pointed at the driver. I would consider it threatening. If someone walked up to my car and I'm innocently trying to go somewhere and they have an AK-47, I'm not saying, of course, I don't have a gun, that I would just shoot the guy, but I would probably speed off.
Well, wait a second. You've seen people with open carry protests or whatever. They constantly have that in front of them.
I'm not an expert. You know, and the guy that was driving had a gun and took action.
That's what I'm intrigued about. Was he, because there's been so many different reports, was he, did he turn into the protest? Was he, was that a closed road?
I don't know. But I do, this, actually, this isn't even what I wanted to discuss, because I thought it was, I was most intrigued by the fact they actually had a frame where he's that close to the car.
Yeah, you see it on the computer and,
And he's got his, you know, he's got his hand on the trigger, obviously, but we don't know that he's going to shoot. He's not pointing directly at the guy. I would certainly consider it threatening to some degree. But the driver, who is obviously somewhat freaked out, he turned himself into police. It's not like this guy was trying to, you know, hit and run or whatever. I mean, he quickly...
Well, no, we said that yesterday. That's what I'm intrigued by. Why was... How did he get to where he was?
I don't know there? That. But he, as he drove off, because he was... I can't put myself in his head, but he drove off thinking that he was facing a mob, obviously.
He had his gun ready.
One of the other... He did. But one of the protesters shot at him as he drove away. Well, just shot at him.
Did you see what happened in Colorado? With
yes, I did. And two people shot at that car.
And hit a bystander.
Yeah, hit a protest. Hit two protesters. One it grazed, and the other one it hit. And I believe that person is in pretty serious condition. But that was a person in a blue Jeep, and they are clearly meaning to drive right through a protest. And the protest, just like the Red Sea, just splits. I mean, it didn't actually hit anyone or come real close to hitting anyone, but it was obnoxious. No. So... You see multiple people run up and throw shit at the car as it's accelerating by, and two people shot at the car. Mm-hmm. Shot at it. Now, this is a protest over, I believe, police brutality or you know, police being overly aggressive, and people are shooting at people. I mean, at,
well, caring,
at targets.
Caring for protection.
It just seems a little smidgen hypocritical to me.
Really?
Well, you don't want police shooting at a guy who's pointing a taser at you after he's beating the shit out of you. Then I don't think you'd want to shoot at a car driving by.
I think it's all. I think it depends on the situation. No, look, hey, I'm not a gun guy, but if they're carrying it for their protection and that's what happens, then.
But a car driving away is not a threat.
No, I believe
it's certainly less of a threat than a person pointing a taser at you who just beat the shit out of you.
Well, I'm being slightly facetious, unless they think they're... I believe me, I don't want a guy pulling a gun shooting at a moving car. Any guy.
I would just...
If someone's going to shoot at a moving car, I'd rather be someone who's trained. But, I don't know who's trained.
That, those are not the only instances of people shooting at people at protests.
No,
I mean, it's
I
not... Those are
and then you have two
that happened in the last 2 days.
Then you have the one in Louisville where the gun just went off accidentally, which just doesn't seem like a good mix.
I have to have a gun. It's in the Constitution.
Protesting
well, there's
guns.
A lot of
it just doesn't seem like a good mix.
You know, and a lot of the protesting is being hijacked by people as a as cover to basically go out and do terrible things like set things on fire, buildings on fire, or you know, vandalize or loot or whatever. But you know, I mean, they declared riots in Seattle and Portland on Saturday night, and those are not cities that are inclined to call something a riot.
Why is Seattle wasting marijuana by being violent and shit? I mean, aren't they supposed to be chill because weed is free there?
Free? It is legal. Like it is here, though.
I don't know. And, you know, Richmond had a sympathy rally also. And I guess I think New York had one, a pretty big one, like a sympathy for Portland rally. And Atlanta had one. And there's a lot of destruction going on at these things, and of course everyone says, "Well, it's not the protesters; it's you know whatever it is." But they're using the protesters for cover for this stuff. So
I do think it's interesting though. Portland seemed to be going on; nobody paid it any mind until you have federal troops protecting federal buildings by leaving the building and firing flares when it's curfew time, and then all of a sudden it's a little agitating. I don't think it's right for what the protesters are doing, but when you have these federal troops come in there, it really does escalate it to another level.
But the troops aren't in Seattle. They're not in New York. They're not in Richmond. They're not in
Atlanta.
No,
I know. I'm talking about Portland. Yeah.
You know, I understand they're sympathetic to Portland, but I think these mayors, who, by the way, at this point have been kind of like, well, you know, they're really mad and stuff, and, you know, I guess it's part of it that stuff's going to get, you know, set on fire. I mean, it's really been a very laissez-faire, like, well, just let it burn out, they're angry, and let's get it out of the system.
But here's my question, right? How bad was Portland 10 days ago before the...
Well, I'm not just talking about Portland specifically. Okay. Portland had 50 straight nights. Portland was... I think the fear was Portland was turning into... Well, I can't read everybody's mind, but I think the fear was that Portland was turning into Seattle and the CHOP, that this one zone where people absolutely refused to stop at 9 p.m., and this would go on during the night, and so... You know, I don't know how upset Portland was about it. Portland seems to be pretty chill. Well, allegedly chill. They're not very chill now. I don't know how much had gone on there, but Seattle had been bad.
Yeah, but Seattle had shootings and had a couple murders.
Leave Portland out of it. All these other places do not have any federal troops. And you could go back to the original protests, which had a lot of rioting and a lot of looting and a lot of bullshit. And these mayors have been like, well, you know, I mean, nobody wants to do anything about it. And I think in some of these places, somebody better get some balls and do something. You know, the CHOP thing in Seattle is obvious. I mean, that was ridiculous. It was insane. And nobody would even say what was going on inside because they feared reprisals. But, I mean, you just can't have people destroying shit and, you know, setting large buildings on fire. And nobody does anything about it. You know, and I don't know, some of these problems are probably different depending on where it is or what they're allegedly upset about. But it's messy. And, you know, shooting at people or shooting at cars driving away is just another indication that, you know, there's some rather undesirable people involved in this.
And then in regards to Garrett Foster, he does have a pretty big GoFundMe that's currently over $100,000 yeah, right now. And then additionally, you have a lot of people going through his social media, finding everything that he's ever done and posting it just to say.
Wait a second. What?
I'm sorry. Why are they going through? He's dead. You mean like going through trying to implicate him in something?
Seems like an incredibly sad story. Why the attack on his character?
What they're doing is they're showing screenshots of when he's, you know, been anti-police or when he's promoted maybe
police,
violence
though.
Or promoted graffiti and just said, look at this guy. And
I did take exception, though. I was reading the GoFundMe. I'm trying to find it now because the GoFundMe described him as a veteran. And what I had read the day before is that he dropped out of the Air Force after 2 months because that girlfriend had sepsis. That's why she's a quadriplegic. She had sepsis, so that's why he dropped out to take care of her. So I thought that to describe him as a veteran is a little...
You know, I see this all the time, depending on, you know, who it is and
I don't know.
They want to, you know, someone's a father of two or...
Well,
and
because
it
he
turns
was.
Out they don't really... Well, no, I don't know how many kids he had, but there was one guy who was involved in some... I don't even want to bring up the incident because it's just too complicated, but... he was shot by police, and of course, father of two killed. And the same thing with the guy in Atlanta, you know, his child's birthday.
Sure.
And it's like he's been in prison for 7 years for abusing his children. So, I mean, I don't know. Isn't it bad enough when someone is killed and just have to make it worse?
Is that the yin to the yang of what a piece of shit? Look what this guy posted here. I had someone send me.
Today, the four speakers of the Republican thing, as soon as that came out, Twitter, of course, believed every word of it, as I did, because Brandon sent it in prep. Ted Nugent talked about raping a 13-year-old in a song and sharing the girl with a policeman. And Ted Nugent said he shit himself to get out of the war. I mean, it's like on and on and on. All this. And then, yes, he did say that.
Yeah,
but I mean, it's just as soon as someone does something you don't agree with, then the whole compendium of events that are objectionable become outrageous and even more outrageous than they ever were. And Scott Baio sexually assaulted, I forgot who.
Nicole
Eggert.
Yeah, no, there's another one too, I think. So all this stuff was coming up, like when Kobe Bryant died, and here's the transcripts from the rape trial.
And Scott Baio is best friends with Jason Hervey, who was a total jerk in the Wonder Years to Kevin Arnold.
I don't know how people have time for all this, honestly.
Well, there was a thing floating around of George Floyd appearing on... Judge Judy, have you seen that?
I heard about it. I haven't seen it.
It's not.
He was on Judge Judy?
I saw him in a porno, though.
But it's not that George Floyd. It's a different person named George Floyd. And the only reason I knew that the second I started watching it is, hey, it doesn't really look like him. But he's George Floyd Jr., the one that was killed in Minneapolis, and this guy was like George Floyd.
Is it father?
Oh, it doesn't even look like George
I didn't think
Floyd.
It looked like him at all.
By the way, is that actually George Floyd in the porno we watched?
Yes.
Close enough. Good enough. Yeah.
No harm, no foul.
I feel a little bad because I thought it sure was, and then I've never seen anything written about it.
Was. Does it matter if he was or if he wasn't? I mean, it's not
no,
a crime.
It doesn't really matter, but I mean, I just, for my own factual, my desire to know right from wrong or, you know, fact from a non-fact, when I don't see anyone writing about it, I assume that it was probably bullshit.
Yeah, but it looked like him. I'm pretty sure it's him.
Cool.
Are you sure you're not just pimping for your prep, Brandon?
But no, I just believe that it would. You'd see articles stating that it is not him because that has been shared quite a bit. Well,
why wouldn't people be? Why wouldn't it be? You think some of these goofy sites would at least be pointing it out? I just haven't seen much about it at
all. Fine, let me put it this way.
I mean, if you go to porn, Snopes, is it kind of a big deal?
If you go to Snopes,
it doesn't affect anything,
they'll tell you that George Floyd did not appear on Judge Judy.
Yeah.
But if you go to Snopes, it will not tell you that that was not George Floyd in the
But he's got a big dick.
Okay. Well, it didn't change anything one way or another. But let's see. There are a couple of actually radio stories that I want to mention. I guess the police shooting and Jamie Samuelson were about the only significant local stories.
Well, Jamie, he must be okay, right? It's been 2 years.
Well, he's working.
Yeah.
It sounds like he's getting better. I just assume when it's been that long that something, it's got to be, the treatment must be working or something's going well.
Genuine,
he got it early enough.
He's a genuine good guy. He's always very nice to me.
Seems fine as far as I know. I don't know Jamie that well, but I mean, he's always seemed very solid.
Well, we worked with him, so when you were gone.
Yeah. No, I'd never really worked with Jamie, but I know him from other stuff, and I know his wife, too. So, of course, hoping everything's okay, and it sounds like it is.
There is a new Rick Beato. I'm a little disappointed that you have not been keeping up with the Rick Beato videos.
I thought it was. I didn't know he'd released anything new and exciting, but I'd love to hear his list. What is it of?
It's right up your alley. It's just the top 20 debut rock albums. Except he couldn't come up with 20. He had to do 22.
Well, there are a lot. I mean, debut albums can be the best album for a lot of people.
I really liked the list. I thought it was really good.
I'm convinced that Boston will be on the list.
Why does that have to come up at all?
Because they sold 17 million copies.
Look at all the hits on that album.
Long Time. Foreplay Long Time.
Sorry.
More Than a Feeling.
Trudy,
no, thank you.
Rock and Roll.
Does Wheels play Boston?
Yes.
So are you just Boston? Are you Bostoned out?
I was Boston out before.
How can you not be Boston out? By the way,
CSX will Boston out anybody.
Pretty. What tracks?
Yeah.
Which Boston tracks do you play?
We play. Just the ones that you mentioned.
More Than a Feeling.
Drew, she's Boston
More than a
out.
Feeling.
She's not going to remember.
Foreplay Long Time.
Foreplay Long Time. Yeah. And I can't remember the third one.
I kind of like Don't Look Back, but Amanda was the shark jumping.
We don't play that.
Amanda.
Yeah.
It was not good. And they were known. What's funny is they were so known for not being able to get a record out because it took them, you know, 3 years and then 5 years. And it's like, oh, my God, what's Boston doing? Well, now people are releasing out, what, every 3 years is quick, isn't it?
Yeah. Look at that. That first album, More Than a Feeling, Peace of Mind, Foreplay, Long
Those
Time.
Are all their biggest songs.
Rock and Roll Band and Smokin'.
Smoking. The thing about them is they were never my favorite band at all. And I.
You know what we should do? We should have you do that whole album like that and then release it.
I think
I also did not like Kansas, so I think I don't like place named bands.
Oh, wow.
Trudy, I'm not a Kansas fan either. I
what about
hate
Chicago?
Carry On My Wayward Son is one of the most offensive things that can enter my world if I hear that. Carry On My Wayward Son. That's like, boom, hit the button. I don't know why. It just, I hate that song. And what other songs were big for theirs? Was Dust in the Wind, Kansas?
Carry On, My Wayward. Wind. Oh, well, okay. So, yeah.
Oh, just, we was Dust know. In the Wind. Or is that Dave Mason?
Carry On, My Wayward. Oh, change it.
No, Dust in the Wind is them.
It is them, okay.
Here's a list of bands named after cities. You ready?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not going to like it because I don't like Chicago.
I don't think you'll like any of them.
Happen in Chicago. I don't like
Alabama,
Boston anymore.
Hate them.
Chicago, Boston.
L.A. Guns.
Berlin.
Oh, Berlin.
Not really.
Nazareth.
Does Cypress Hill count?
Nazareth.
Little River Band?
Like Nazareth.
Wait, LRB? What little river are they named after?
Oh, they're named after a city. Orleans. Oh, yeah. Here you go. Ready? Ready? New York Dolls.
Cool. New York Dolls are okay.
The Manhattan Transfer. Wait,
no.
Oh, my God.
No.
Wait. Manhattan Transfer. Didn't they have a cover that was really a big hit?
Oh, God, no.
For some reason, I think they have a really bad Beatles cover. For some reason, it reminded me of... Wait, Sergio something in Brazil 66?
Sergio Mendes.
Sergio Mendes in Brazil 66 had a horrible cover that was kind of a hit of The Fool on the Hill.
Oh,
they
really?
They funkied it up.
They like you can't funk up The Fool on the Hill.
Wait, the Manhattan Transfer did a cover of something?
I thought they had a Beatles cover, but I may have them confused with Sergio Mendes in Brazil 66.
That's Mitch Ryder and the Detroit Wheels. Does that count?
Yeah, they were good. People dug Mitch.
I don't know. It's more about the one name bands, though. God, they all do.
Well, who else is named after a place?
There's Beirut, Tokyo Police Club. I don't even know half these.
Japan,
bands. But America existed. Does America count?
America,
I don't like either.
America.
They're too soft.
And I never liked America.
Bombay Bicycle Club.
Bicycle Club.
What place is that? Oh, Bombay Bicycle Club.
Saigon Kick.
Oh, they're kind of cool.
Oh, Asia. Did you already say
Hate Asia.
Asia was a super group.
No, marching songs.
Asia is the least super group in my opinion.
I told you about that girl I met on spring break, and she was named Asia. And I said, well, that's a unique name. Yeah, my parents liked the band. Oh,
that's bummer.
I'm so sorry sad. For that. Right.
Well, let's come back to Beato's list.
I got anyway.
I mean, can you have it ready in a couple minutes?
Sure.
Okay, Trudy, you want to talk about Dr. Roche?
Yeah, Dr. Roche is giving everybody a last chance for the introductory Evolve pricing. And Evolve, in case you don't know, and you can look at this online at droche.com, is the non-invasive way of getting yourself into shape. It's a lunchtime body lift, basically, non-surgical. You go in and they put it on around your waist or on your legs. In places where you have that unwanted cellulite-y flabby business going on, and it knocks it right down. And what they can do...
It feels unbelievably good.
Amazing results. And they want to, of course, share them with you so you can...
You gotta knock it down!
Introductory pricing, and soon $2,500 for three treatments. Regular $3,000 ends July 31st, 2020, so you got to get right on it today. Call today to lock in pricing, 248-338-1110.
Is there a boner line, Brandon?
Yeah, there is. I do have one. You're not going to like it. You might want to take a break.
It's a complaint
line. Why am I not going to like it? What's the big deal? About what?
Well,
what are people complaining about? I mean, not that I don't read complaints every day, but
as a Local 4 award-winning best of podcast, I think that we would be doing our listeners a disservice if we did not air some of their complaints that come in on the boner line 206-209-66 boner,
I'm unclear as to why these complaints are special from the usual.
I don't
complaints.
Want to hear you whining.
I think they're special because I just kind of collected them all. And put them together.
Oh, jeez.
Whiner.
Why don't you put them all in one? Would it be better to space them out?
I apologize. Instead of, that just means the next couple boner lines are going to be so damn positive.
Hey!
No, I think write negative things because they feel that's what sells.
Complaints
begin. Good news to them doesn't sell.
Don't talk over Jackson.
Well, I thought he was done 6 times. Complaints beget complaints. But I mean, I don't care. I see them all the time. Actually, I usually respond to complaints. And I don't know if I think usually it's a win-win.
There's a real shitty one-star review Brandon and I were reading before the show.
Oh, there's some really shitty reviews lately.
He just goes around and reviews every show and gives them one star. It's like, wait, what?
We have a shitty five-star review recently.
It's like, oh, that's okay. I'll take a shitty five-star review.
But I hate the one-star reviews where it's like, I really like the show for 26 years, but something happened a month ago, and I hate it now. And I give it one star. It's like, what, 26 years is pretty good. I mean, if 1 month is bad, then you should give us at least three stars. Mm. But, the bad reviews have been more commonplace of late than I can recall.
Mm. That's because everybody hates everybody now, so.
That's true. Well, everybody has a voice. It's not that many. Actually, it's a small number because we still have our 4.9.
Whatever.
We'll never get our 5.0 back, though, with the recent
I thought we had a 5.0. Beeps.
We have a 5.0 on Facebook, but every now and then we get a one star on iTunes,
bitch.
And lately we've got about, I don't know, just more one stars, like 5 1 stars in 2 weeks or something.
Bullshit.
So, anyway, yeah, so I can't wait for the boner line. but meanwhile, things are getting wild at Zot Ford and Holly, and we're talking about the all-new Ford Bronco. The time has finally come. It's time to reserve your new Ford Bronco with our friends at Zot Ford. Hoo-hoo-ha-ha! Go to ZotFord.com, follow the link to order your new Bronco Sport or full-size Bronco two-door or four-door. The hype is huge, and the Broncos will sell out before you know it. Plus, they're offering the Ford Promise still, buy or lease, a new or pre-loved vehicle, and if you get canceled in your first year of ownership, as in canceled from your job, they will take your vehicle back, period. And finally, yeah, no marks on your credit. They'll just buy it back from you. Finally, the team at Zot Ford continues to have deals, deals, deals. The lease trifecta is back. You can lease the 2020 Ford EcoSport or a new 2020 Escape all-wheel drive or a new 2020 Ford F-150 Super Crew XLT 4x4. Your choice of the three. Each for as low as $166 a month. Yes, Zot Ford's trifecta gives you a choice of three brand new Fords for just $166 a month. Surf their massive inventory and trifecta deals at dealsinthed.com.
Hey, this right here is some breaking news from the Red Shovel Network. And shit.
We have a 5.0 rating on iTunes. Look. See? 5.0. Yeah. 5 out of 5.
Is that? Are you sure that's us?
I'm 100% positive it's us.
I can show you.
I think Drew's been going to Chartable a lot, and Chartable gives us a 4.9.
They do.
Stars out of 5,074 ratings. Yeah.
Okay, let's see. Yeah, I think that's pretty much where I see it. Yeah, 4.9. Yeah. Oh, and the last guy gave us a 1. Oh, that's nice.
That's the one.
Brand new one.
It's a pretty shitty review.
Bunch of feminized males that whine about just about everything. And the political talk is enough to make anyone tune out. Try making other people laugh for a change instead of yourselves. The hotline callers are way funnier than you girls. Oh, this is very...
Girls? Oh,
also, stop stealing topic matter from the Dave and Chuck the Freak podcast. Anyone that listens to both clearly will hear you girls covering the same stories in the same week.
Oh, that's one of their partisans. That can't
really
count.
I think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I really, really don't think so. And by the way, if a story happens in the same week, there is a chance that two shows will also talk about the same topic.
John Oliver talked about the same thing you guys comment. What? Or, I don't know. Howard Stern, you guys just copycats. It's always the same.
I don't understand five-star reviews with shitty commentary either. Oh, well, whatever. Let's do the... I'm so excited about the complaints that... Well, why don't we do the top 20 rock debuts first?
All right.
That way I can build up my excitement.
With Rick Beato on his YouTube channel with 1.68 million subscribers.
I wonder how he built 1.6 million.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated.
Hey, everybody, I'm Rick Beato. On today's Everything Music, we're going to count down the top 20 debut rock albums of all time. Actually, that's not true.
What?
Because I've been working on this list for a while, and I've only narrowed it down to 22. So we're actually going to count down the top 22 because I can't take anything off of it. Okay, so what is the criteria I use?
Now, what's interesting about that is he has a big honorable mention group later on where he names a bunch of bands. So
he always does that to cover his ass. Well,
couldn't he do top 25 then? I'm not going
to come up with this
question.
List.
His
well,
genius.
Does the record have songs on it? Usually big hit songs that became important
to the
rest of the band's career. Is it a transformative record?
The way he does.
Did it create a transformative new for me to read these things afterwards? Coming in at number 22, this record was released in the fall of 1989 and was a really important record in the industrial rock, metal, alternative rock scene. And it was produced and written by the lead singer, Trent Reznor. Here it is.
Oh! Pretty Hate Machine.
Man, I could not figure out who he was talking about.
Number 21 was released in the fall of 1969. The band went on to become one of the most influential progressive rock bands of all time. And I went to see them play last fall, and they were still phenomenal. Fall number 20 was released in September of 19.
So he jumped to number 20. I was like, well, wait a sec.
Wait, where's 21?
Where's 21? Well, he had to make a comment below that. King Crimson blocked the video, so it got edited out.
Okay, was it CSNY?
No, King Crimson.
No, I mean, it was 20. Oh, that was their debut was in the fall of 69?
Yeah, I guess.
That really? Okay.
21 in, right. In Rick Salm last month. Or last fall.
And in the first three songs featured two of their biggest songs ever. Here it is.
Here. Was that big of an album to you?
You know, it was pretty big because it came out of nowhere. I just don't think of their debuts being that much bigger than all their other albums. Yeah. Maybe it was.
Yeah.
R&B, soul, and happens to have one of my favorite rock songs of all time on it. Check it out. Ain't a load off, Benny.
Band. Such a great song. I'm with you, Beato.
Album number 18 was released in November of 1972. Not only does it have two of the band's biggest songs on it, Do It Again and Reelin' in the Years, but it also has the songs Dirty Work, Midnight Cruiser, Kings. It's a really great record if you don't know it. Check it out.
I don't think of Steely Dan as being like a debut album band. It was a great album.
I didn't know all those hits were on the very first album.
I like all their albums, but I'll accept it. I'll accept part of Steely Dan.
Album number 17 was released in October of 2000 and combines elements of alternative metal, nu metal, and rap. And this record was the biggest selling debut record since Appetite for
Destruction. A personal thing. I'll show you.
Oh, okay.
Destruction. This particular performance is from 2008 and is really kind of sad to watch, but it's incredible. It's Chris Cornell sitting in.
Oh.
Talking about Linkin Park and Hybrid Theory, which I always forget about Linkin Park. They were those first two albums were huge.
The first one was massive. I remember that when that came out. I think I was a junior or a senior, and it was like the soundtrack of our.
And fairly groundbreaking. I mean, I know rap rock.
Pretty cool.
Fusion
pretty unique.
There, but yeah.
Yeah.
And it had two lead singers, and I wasn't used to that. At least when. You know, normally when there's two lead singers, they play an instrument. You know, they're contributing to the band. Well, these guys just pretty much just both sang until Mike Shioda or whatever learned how to play guitar.
Yeah.
Part of the new 16. British invasion that happened during that period.
That's too low,
by the
way. I
actually went to see them play here in Atlanta on their first tour in front of probably about 600 people.
It's gonna be Oasis?
They were great.
Definitely.
Yeah, definitely. Maybe it's very special.
This next record was released in May of 1991. It came out during the grunge era, but it's not really a grunge record. Check it out.
Smashing Pumpkins, Gish.
I don't think of their debut album as being that much better than, I don't know, I guess after the rest of the list. I love the Smashing Pumpkins,
though. I was going to say, I'm in high school, so of course it was a massively huge album then.
Number 14 is a record released in November of 1992. This is a killer record. In 1995, they were working on their second record here in Atlanta, and I went into this music store, and I heard this guy playing guitar. Sounded great. I went up to talk to him and says, man, you sound great.
This would be top three on my list.
Yeah, I said, what's the name of your band? He goes, Rage Against the Machine. It was Zach. He'd cut all his dreads off.
Cool story,
and
right?
And I said,
I think we need your sides, Beato.
Like, no problem. Here it is.
I mean, that album was so different. And it had like a message.
I got in trouble for having this debut album.
Did you really?
Yeah, I got grounded.
By Homeless Al? He kicked you out of the room?
It's no, it was before Homeless.
Getting grounded for a record makes it bigger, in my opinion.
Yeah. 13 is Temple of the Dog.
Wait, that's a combo band.
It is kind of
we have one album.
Super group, yeah. Beato mentioned that.
I think Beato is Beato off on this.
The fall of 1989, just after it came out, when one of my guitar students named Derek came in and said, I want to learn a song by this band. And it was the song Blue, the first track on this particular record. Here it is.
Nirvana Bleach, which a lot of people don't think of it as their first album.
I don't think we need the aside about Derek.
No. Well, that's the charm of Beato. He has a personal story about every album.
I think you'll know why.
Is Nirvana's debut album that important?
Not that one.
It was like elected after the next one came out.
Yeah.
Why is it not their debut album?
No, it is their debut album, but I think people think
it didn't do well because
it was on Sub Pop.
We weren't ready for it.
It was on Sub Pop.
It was a small label, but so was Nevermind, wasn't it? Wasn't Nevermind on Sub Pop?
No. That was their major label debut, which is why it was so huge. Like, nobody out here really knew about Nirvana and Bleach, right?
Yeah,
I didn't.
That's kind of like calling Chronic Town REM's debut. It was an EP. It was four songs, and
yeah.
Murmur with Radio Free Europe is, I typically think of as...
Well timed, Brandon.
Whatever.
Number 11.
That was a pretty good analogy myself.
Number 11 is 10. Which I'll never forget being in the car driving around and my buddy Matt Keys going, how could anyone not like this record, man? November of
1978. It could be higher than 10 in my opinion.
I think so.
I was in 10th grade when this song came on the radio.
Yeah, I'm not a police guy. Are you a fan of the police? I know you are.
I love the police.
Was this debut album that important and huge?
I'm not sure the debut is. I love the band, though.
That was an incredible year and a great time to be growing up. This has four huge singles on it. And I've never talked about this band on my channel before, but I am a massive fan of them. And I have a What Makes This Song Great coming up soon. Here it is.
The Cars, Cars.
Fantastic.
Top 10 debut album of all time? I mean, I'm asking because it doesn't have that much
meaning
to me.
Maybe, yeah.
Okay.
Favorite Maybe. Band. I know most
More
of
than
you
Pearl Jam?
Think of me talking about them. This particular record has two huge hits on it, and not one song is over 3 minutes.
Are you mad that they're only number 8?
That's okay. Yeah, I think it's hard to put it in perspective now.
Taking the high road.
Real alternative.
You really think I give a shit about the Beatles?
Elements of garage and psychedelic rock with
it's hipper to put it further down.
Music. The tracks I really like are the psychedelic ones, like Sunday Morning.
This one surprised me. You'll probably have a different opinion.
Venus and Furs, and this. She turned
once more. The Velvet Underground. The Velvet Underground and Nico. I
feel like Velvet Underground gets a little too much credit. I don't know why. Maybe because it didn't sell very well.
Number 6 was released.
It's
in January,
very unique, though. I mean, it was definitely.
I was surprised at that one being number 7.
Blues, psychedelic.
Critics love the Furs or the
acid rock
underground,
as they called it back then. But I just know them as the Doors. Come on,
baby, light my fire. Come on, baby, light my fire.
Coming in at number 5, this record,
Baby, Won't You Light My Fire,
67, like the previous one, and really changed the world of guitar. Here it is.
Hard to disagree with that one.
Debut album number 4 is by a band
that
doesn't
get played on
channel.
What was
that,
Hendrix? What was
it? Jimi Hendrix Experience?
They don't get played on YouTube much because they block videos. But I can't
How can this one not be number 1?
Because it is amazing. It was released in 1987. Coming in at number 3.
Honestly.
No asides? He doesn't even have an aside for it?
No, his only aside is that they block everything on YouTube. That was honestly
You know,
story.
They get a lot less time when they block.
Like this. Not the sound, not the playing.
Van Halen.
Oh, God. Coming in at number 2 is a record released in the summer of 1976.
You're running out of spaces, Drew.
Brother
for your
Lou
prediction.
Bought it and started playing
Where's
it.
Where's his aside? Said, his brother bought
that?
It.
It's got to be Boston.
It didn't sound like anything I'd ever heard. This record has about 8 singles on it. Pretty much every song in the record was a single.
Check it out.
Not number two.
Yo. What? It should be number two?
It should not be number two, I don't think.
But his brother bought him the album.
Before we get to number
That's
one,
really cute,
I
want
to give you my list of honorable mentions.
I think it's
mentions.
A reason to put it further down, actually.
It was a Sounds very okay. difficult list to make.
Here's his
These
honorable
easily
mentions.
Could have been on there. The Black Crowes, Shake Your Money Maker.
Why is his
the
brother
Eagles,
to buy albums?
Eagles. Stone Temple Pilots, Core.
Oh,
the Sex Pistols, Nevermind the Bullocks.
Surprised
the
that
Sex
wasn't
Pistols,
on there.
And Blizzard of Oz. Okay, oh, here we are at number one. This is my pick.
What's it going to be?
Zeppelin?
The greatest debut rock album of all
the best part
time.
Is,
it hasn't been named yet.
Best part is Rick gets to play all the songs.
Oh,
off.
No.
What? What? What happened?
And right from the opening track, it blows
shows
your mind.
Shows you how good Beato is. Listen to him segue from song to song.
Wouldn't it be better just to have a cover
kids
version?
I love this stuff.
Cut it out, Beato.
He's good, man.
Oh, rock and roll.
So, License to Ill wasn't it?
No, no. Yeah, that
pretty,
was really
that was
groundbreaking.
A pretty special debut album.
Yeah, had a lot of hits on it.
Yeah,
and it started that genre into the mainstream.
I find too that Beastie Boys fans still are crazy about the Beastie Boys. It's not like it was a passing thing. They just people love the Beasties, and that album was. So different.
That's only like their fourth best album.
Disappointed the Laws aren't on the debut album. But, oh well. By the way, Pearl Jam has covered the Laws.
I know.
You sound defensive about it.
No, I know that.
Timeless melody.
Did they ever cover Pylon?
I don't think they've covered Pylon.
Has anyone
to
ever,
my knowledge.
Has anyone ever covered Pylon?
Yes, people have covered Pylon.
Are you sure?
Well, I can look it up.
I'm already trying to beat you to the punch to see if anybody's covered it.
And real quick, we forgot one of the, I think we forgot one of the bands that are named after a location. One of the biggest bands possibly ever, Ooh. And I feel like an idiot for not coming up with it earlier. So let's just do it real quick.
You're up! Great call, Brandon.
I'm not sure who he left off besides the Beastie Boys because, you know, I'm thinking back to Elton John. His first album was not a great debut album. The Stones, The Who aren't known for their debut albums. Who else are... What about Michael Jackson?
Maybe he doesn't count the Beastie Boys as being rock.
Yeah, I think you got to put him in there. Oh, rock. Okay, so that could,
did
that could
just
push Michael Jackson out. I'm trying to think of a big...
Alice in Chains, they had a pretty huge
debut
album.
Yeah, it was big. There's probably a problem with too many Seattles.
Sure.
I mean, he might see it that way. I think everything's got to be judged by itself. He doesn't have any... Aren't there many 70s bands in there?
Not really. Well, Hendrix. To me,
he...
Was Aerosmith's debut
Boston?
Yeah, Aerosmith's debut was awesome. Get Your Wings.
Isn't Dream On on
really
there?
Good? Yeah, it's got Dream On.
It wasn't even on Beato's honorable mention.
It's got Seasons of Wither, my favorite.
What about Weezer's debut album?
The blue one. That's a pretty big album. Yeah, but if you heard Beato describing his method, he said it really needs to be like genre changing. He said this was a big part of it.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of big in alternative rock. I mean, it only had three big hits on it, but those were monster hits. The sweater song, Buddy Holly, and Say It Ain't So.
Yeah, but My Name is Jonas is on there. Isn't that on there? And Wax America is on there, I think. Is that on there, too? What else is on the list?
Yeah, My Name is Jonas.
God, that's
and,
a great opener. That's a great
Only
opener.
In Dreams, No One Else.
Yeah, it's a good album.
Surf Wax America.
Surf Wax America.
I'm trying to find the, let's see, Get Your Wings track list. Same Old Song and Dance, Lord of the Thighs, Spaced, Woman of the World, SOS, Train Kept Rolling, great first train. That was a big song in Ursay's junk box.
Was it?
Yeah. Ursay's bedroom being his junk box.
Yeah.
That's what Audrey called it. Pandora's Box, Seasons of Wither. Is that all? Eight songs?
Wait, that's Get Your Wings, right? Is that what you said?
Oh, Get Your Wings isn't the debut,
that's not
is
their
it?
Debut. No, Aerosmith is their debut. Which is Make It, Somebody, Dream On. Mama Kin,
yeah.
Write Me a Letter, Moving On. Yeah, so maybe not.
Walk
not
on the
a bad
dog.
Album.
God, I can't believe it. That's weird. I conflated two albums. And I'm not sure that...
You proved Beato's...
Aerosmith's a great... That's a great record, too, though.
You proved Beato's point, though.
What?
Well, it was their second album. It was the first one that popped in your head.
In his Aerosmith band.
Okay, let's see. Debut albums that pop into my head. I'm going to say... You know, I was debating even Hendrix's debut album, because Hendrix's, all those albums are great. They're all special in their own way, mm-hmm. but is the first one the best one? I mean, with GNR, it's no, I mean, there's no question. GNR, Pearl Jam, and they were great debut albums, too. They were fabulous, yeah. out of the box.
I love Nirvana, but I don't think Bleach should have been on there.
I was almost going to say Van Halen might be a little too high.
Oh, I don't know.
I think if you look at the numbers, though, it probably is one of their very biggest albums. And for, I mean, they did come flying out of the box. It was a big deal.
What's
certainly, but I do love some of their other albums better.
What's U2's debut album? Is there anything?
You know, U2. That's going back to when U2 was an alternative band.
Is that Boy.
I was going to say Boy, but I'm not sure that's the debut with I Will Follow and New Year's Day.
Debut. Yeah, Boy is their debut album.
Okay, let me get the track list. I Will Follow is one of my favorite songs.
Boy!
Isn't New Year's Day on that, too?
No, negative.
No?
No. And honestly, I don't know any of the other songs on this album, so...
No, it's not. I would not say that is one of the best debut albums. No.
I'm just trying to think of big rock bands that might be on there. What was Queen's debut? What was anything on Queen's debut album?
Queen's debut album was a big deal because it had Bohemian Rhapsody was on it, wasn't it?
No, not on their Queen. Debut.
They had a song that was absolutely crazy to be on the radio. That was their first. I want to say it was their first hit.
We need Graf to put together his list. Anytime Beato does a list, we should have.
So that would be their self-titled one. That was what? Keep Yourself Alive and Liar.
That's what's on the debut album.
Yeah.
Man.
That were hits, but yeah. I mean,
no, that should not be on the list.
Queen,
get out of here, Queen.
Queen is the debut studio album.
Get out of here, Queen.
Was there an album that came out before they made it here?
That, Queen is in that 73. This album? Okay. And then they followed it up with Queen 2.
Electric Boogaloo.
Keep Yourself Alive.
Queen 2 had not that many hits.
Yeah, but Queen 2's got a big hit on it, doesn't it? What is the track list on Queen 2?
Well, the only one that says that it's a single was Seven Seas of Rye. Let's see. I don't really see
it. So our introduction to Queen was not their debut or their second album. So, yeah, okay. I'll take them off the list.
It looks like maybe their third one, which was Sheer Heart Attack, kind of had... You know, Killer Queen.
Yeah, Killer Queen was the first song I remember of Queen on the radio. And it was out of left field.
Freddie Mercury homosexual?
About Adrenaline with the Deftones or Godsmack self-titled.
Yeah, right.
Album.
Get out of here, Brandon.
I have to say, I do love the Black Crowes debut album.
Fantastic. I was surprised that was on the list.
I don't know if I put on the list.
How about Green Day?
That was a great album.
What was their debut album?
Brandon feels about it.
It wasn't Dookie.
That's what I think of as their debut.
Yeah, well, maybe we just prove Beato's point again. Because Green Day really did kind of change music at the time. It was a little different.
Well, it's commercial punk.
I guess, there's two albums before that on Smaller.
Or Plunk.
Yeah, and 39 Smooth.
This is going to sound a little self-serving, but, you know, when he talked about the Police debut album,
yeah,
which has Roxanne on it, and it's definitely got that sound, that sort of, that post-punk reggae sound.
Very unique.
I'm thinking of other debuts from that same period, and I would have to say that, like, the Sex Pistols was more of a debut album. And Elvis Costello, My Aim Is True. Pretty big. I believe Rolling Stone named it Album of the Year.
Ooh.
My Aim Is True. With the black and white check boxes. But I don't, maybe Elvis didn't become big enough to be on the list. in and of himself. Police are, from that period, the Police are probably the most successful band. From 80 to 85, I believe the Police sold more records than anyone. And when MTV kicked off, you know, the Police were...
Yeah, I'm a police officer.
I want to say Synchronicity was out, and all those songs were hits, although those weren't my favorite Police songs. I may be partial to Zenyatta Mandata. That was a great album. I don't know, but somebody from that 76 to 79, from that punky new wave, that category, The Cars is definitely a great debut album. That was a fabulous album, and it was out of the box whammo.
See, I was just thinking about Motley Crue, too, but Shout at the Devil isn't their debut album, technically.
The Velvet Underground, I think that is a, that's kind of a critic's pick. I just think critics love The Velvet Underground, but if you look at their record sales, etc., and I bet Lou Reed sold as many records as Velvet Underground, probably more. But it is truly unique. I mean, The Velvet Underground were, at the time,
I never got it. I don't understand it.
I think there's a few songs that could help you get it.
What about the Ramones? What was their
The Ramones. Now that's another one. Yeah, from 76, 79. That's one I would probably put in there ahead of the Police. Not because the Police album isn't great. I just don't think of it as separating them from themselves, so to speak.
Yeah.
I know it's a weird way of putting it. But, okay, Velvet Underground. Let's see. Velvet.
I just don't understand Velvet Underground.
Velvet.
I need someone to enlighten me.
Underground. I think I'm more of a Lou Reed fan than a Velvet Underground fan. I do appreciate the... I love Sweet Jane. Sweet Jane's a great song.
Mm-hmm.
Heroin is a really cool, unique song. Do you like Pale Blue Eyes?
I don't think
I know. Pale Blue Eyes. It's kind of that. It's sort of a slow Lou Reedy version of the Velvets. I didn't.
Sometimes I feel so happy.
Nico was not my favorite.
Sometimes I feel so sad.
They slow down.
Sometimes I knew something was coming.
Are you okay?
You just make me mad. Baby, you just make me mad.
Jeez, why don't you go cry about it?
All right, how about Sweet Jane?
Well, Sweet Jane, yeah, everyone knows that one.
Heroin is a... That's Velvet Underground, Nico, but... Heroin is a great song. And ask anyone who's been on heroin for a while, and they'll tell you how special it is. I don't know about that part.
Is this song that groundbreaking?
Which one?
Sweet Jane.
No, it wasn't. Just a great rock song. I think it's a Velvet Underground being more accessible, man.
Jackson's closer, Jane is in her vest. And me, I'm in a rock and roll band.
Ooh. Who had the Cowboy Junkies at the real slow version?
Riding us starts back at Jim.
Of this?
Yeah, who did that? Was it the Cowboy?
Oh, you could be right. I know Metallica did it. Hetfield. Sweet Jane.
Yeah, Cowboy Junkies had a hit with it in the early 90s, I believe.
You a cowboy?
Remember that?
You a cowboy?
It's slow.
Oh wait! This was in. Wait, this is in a movie.
Yeah, it's in a cool movie. I say it's in like a Tarantino movie.
Natural Born Killers. This is a Natural Born Killers. That's actually a very good soundtrack, from what I remember. Although now that I said that, I should probably look at what they're.
Lou Reed's version on Rock and Roll Animal of Sweet Jane is much better. It's more rockin'.
Well, since we're talking about him and soundtrack, this
and how about
this is always my favorite
Satellite movie. Of Love, Lou Reed.
This is always my favorite Lou Reed song, which I think we've talked about before. It's from the toilet scene in Trainspotting.
Just a
perfect day. It's in Adventureland too, I think.
Is it?
Yeah, I think Satellite of Love is in that too.
This is such a good song though.
They slow down.
Making me sleepy.
Yeah, why is this better than Pale Blue Eyes?
Because it's in the toilet.
Away. It's getting better. It's like, out.
Just a Dirty Boulevard. I Love You, Suzanne. How about Satellite of Love?
I'm looking for the Natural Born
Satellite of Love
soundtrack.
Fans around here?
Oh, I didn't even get to the hook. Oh,
out.
I think best soundtracks, by the way, is a really interesting list. I don't know. Does Beato have a soundtrack list, like top soundtrack albums?
Because
I love that
better topic. Be number one.
Natural Born.
Singles. The Crow.
Dazed and Confused.
Dazed and Confused. You like the Crow soundtrack, didn't you, Brandon?
I don't remember.
I generally love Cameron Crowe soundtracks.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're all over the
place.
Anything, but
like
I do
say
like them.
Soundtrack.
Natural Born Killers has Leonard Cohen, Waiting for the Miracle, Shitlist, L7, Moon Over Green County, Jan Zanes, Rock and Roll N-Word, Patti Smith,
yeah.
Cancel Her Immediately, Sweet Jane, Cowboy Junkies, You Belong to Me, Bob Dylan, The Trembler, Dwayne Eddy, Burn by Nine Inch Nails.
Good album.
Route 66, Robert Downey Jr.
What? Wait, what?
Robert Downey Jr. sings on that?
He does.
That's like the song in, wait, is it? What's the song in Vanilla Sky that Cameron Diaz sings? She has a song on.
She does?
Yeah, she does. It's not that bad.
That's a good review of something when you go, it's not that bad.
No, it's okay. I kind of liked it. I don't want to admit I really liked it, but I kind of liked it.
Doesn't look like it's on the soundtrack, though.
What could I be thinking of? Jerry Maguire? No, no, no. It's on Vanilla Sky. I'm positive. I have the soundtrack!
Well, you have a different one. Unless she's under a different name.
Oh, yeah. Julie Gianni, I think, is the name.
Oh, Juliana Gianni?
Yes.
I Fall Apart?
Yes.
Was she using a stupid name?
I had no idea it was Cameron Diaz. I fall apart. When you hear her singing, it does sound like Cameron Diaz.
Oh God! You don't get it. I can tell.
Juliette Lewis has a song in Natural Born Killer soundtrack too.
Yeah, wasn't she in a band? Didn't we interview her?
Yes,
for her band,
we did.
Along with, didn't we have Jada Pinkett Smith in?
Yes, for her horrible band.
She was very nice.
She was really nice, but the band was terrible.
Nobody's got to sleep with
her. Terrible.
Very nice. Hey, you know what else is on Vanilla Sky? Is the Porpoise song.
Well, I love the Porpoise song. I don't get much support for that, but I do love it. It's my favorite Monkees song.
That's a really cool song.
Isn't it? Doesn't it seem way too cool for the Monkees?
Yeah. You can tell they were in charge then when they made this song.
They had a big hit in the UK that they wrote.
I mean, it's just a really trippy song.
Well, that movie Head is very trippy. Jack Nicholson wrote it, I think. Mickey has a perm then, by the way. Speaking of perm guys, which we were yesterday, Mickey Dolenz had a perm, and it was awful. I'm trying to think of a perm I ever saw that was good.
Oh, I'm not going to say, because I thought somebody else had a perm.
Who?
Didn't Mickey Redmond have a perm in his
hockey
card?
Oh, did he? It's possible. He could have been caught up in that horrible period.
Well, it's almost
it happened.
Fair.
It's almost like perms happen to people.
It's like the founding fathers owning slaves. It's like everybody did.
Sort of like it.
Everyone had a perm then. Every founding father had slaves.
Okay. So I'll put the boner line off a few more minutes by mentioning I thought this was an interesting topic.
Let's just end with the boner line and we won't have to.
No, I had something that I was going to play after.
Oh, okay. What are you going to play after? Or do you want to save it?
Nah, forget it.
Is it a tease?
I just ruined it, so fuck it.
Are you having a bad day today, Brandon? Are you mad at us?
No.
Are you hungry? Have you not gotten dinner yet?
I have not.
Does everyone know who Brent Hatley is?
Yeah, we talked about him yesterday.
But do a lot of people know? I don't mean us. I mean, do a lot of people know who he is?
If you're a Stern fan, absolutely. If you listen to Bubba the Love Sponge, then you do. But other than that, I don't think so.
Yeah, I sort of thought between those two shows, a lot of people probably know
who's
who
that
he
dude?
Is. Because those were, of course, Howard's show is humongous and Bubba's show is big. Anyway, Brett Hatley was executive producer of the Howard Stern show for, what, like 6-7 years? Wasn't that long, Brandon?
Yeah, it's been a while.
And for Bubba
fall in the hierarchy? I mean, that's below Gary, right?
I don't know. I was, every time I heard that title, I thought, wait, he's in charge of everybody? Because executive sounds like it's the main guy.
No. They have another producer who is higher on the list. God damn it,
Gary Delabate.
Will Murray. Will Murray is kind of the next highest underneath Gary for producer.
Brent was a was obviously an important producer in the show, and he became a big part of the show because he revealed that he and his wife, Caitlin, were swingers. And for about the first maybe year, there was a lot of ragging of Brent because I think they were calling him a soft swinger because it's like nothing had happened. I think he made out with a chick and maybe she made out with a dude. And it was sort of they were poking him a lot for it because nothing happened. And then all of a sudden it kind of blew up like she started banging some dude. He started banging some chick and then it was off to the races.
Is she hot?
Okay, that's going to be a topic. Give me about a minute.
Okay.
Anyway, so then she gets a boob job, and it's like unveiled on the show. And, oh, my God, Caitlin, she's so hot. Her tits are great. And Caitlin. And Caitlin talks about, you know, how much she loves banging other guys and how great it is. And some guy, the jackhammer, who apparently was just the greatest fuck ever. And, of course, they would all ride Brent about, doesn't this bum you out? You really, can you stand here and... Oh, no, no problem. No, this is all part of it, and I'm totally cool with it. And anyway, their swinging life became, I'm going to say it was a major part of the show. Mm. Would you agree, Brandon?
It was a major part of his contributions to the on-air persona. I don't know what he did behind the scenes. I assume that he wrote a bunch of stuff, even though that show has 60 employees. 20 writers, which is amazing for a show to have. But when he came in, the majority of the stuff he talked about was, yes, the swinging or politics, because I guess he ran for something in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, he knows a lot about a lot of stuff. I wouldn't say he's any incredibly entertaining guy in and of himself, but he's knowledgeable, and Howard knew how to tap into him, and certainly the swinging thing was of great interest. So it became a pretty solid topic on the show. I mean, it seems like they came back to it every couple weeks or so, and then it literally dominated the show for, I want to say, about a month, where it was constantly coming up, and they had their Hollywood squares, and I think his wife and the jackhammer were in the same square together?
No, they wanted them to be, and Brent put the nicks on that.
Okay, well, there was great debate about it. I mean, the topic lived for about 4 days. Anyway, I would say that his swinging with Caitlin became him. That was what I thought about when I thought of him, because it was all it seemed like he ever talked about on the show, and it was brought up a lot. So, you know, between that and his background with Bubba and the fact that he is obviously a producer of some renown, at some point, I'm not sure, maybe April or May, all of a sudden, well, actually, it might have been before that. He just disappeared from the show. You just never heard about him. Boy. Nothing was said. He didn't say anything. And then all of a sudden, it's like, me and Caitlin are doing this new show on Twitch. With, I think there's another guy, too. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. That's another person splintering off of a big show, doing their own thing, and... You know, it'd be kind of fun to make up a list. In fact, I was talking to Carl about this from WATP, the list of people who have splintered off from a really big show, the idea being that I can do this.
Yeah.
And it seems that it doesn't often work out. Quite often it doesn't work out. I mean, it has happened where you could take, like, who are the two guys at ESPN that splintered? The guy that just retired.
Oh, Dan Patrick Mike and Olbermann? Mike and the Mad Dog?
Yeah, Mike and the Mad Dog. The Mad Dog is great, and Mike certainly has his...
Mike and Mike? I don't know. They didn't do so well when they split.
No, not Mike and Mike. I mean, the guy with
Mad
Dog.
Mike Francesa.
Mike Francesa did very well for years, and Mad Dog did very well. He is a satellite show. He makes a couple $1 million a year. I don't really listen to a satellite show, but he's been on Stern, actually, a couple times. He's an entertaining guy. I like him.
O&A?
Yeah, Opie and Anthony, that didn't work out so well.
Yeah, that didn't work out well, did it? That didn't work out well at all, did it?
But I think Anthony's got quite the following on Compound Media, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Anthony does pretty well.
Fine.
I don't know if that's... It's funny, I keep looking at Compound Media, and I don't really find that any... Are the other shows of any interest, or is it just Anthony?
Couldn't name you a single one besides that one.
Okay, I couldn't either.
Well, if you think about Kevin and Bean spawned Kimmel.
Oh, yeah.
And
no, that's true.
And
absolutely.
Carson Daly, I think. Didn't Carson Daly work Did he, on that show for a while?
Did he? I didn't know that.
I thought he did.
I know he worked for KROQ.
Maybe he just did that then.
Well, I mean, that's Los Angeles, which is a little different, but and I would, that show always kept its hosts. So, but yeah, Kimmel, of course, and Adam. And Adam did it on KROQ.
Mm-hmm.
And then onwards and upwards with his podcast. And those shows are doing really well. In fact, somebody sent me one today of, it's one of, Adam's got like five shows, I think.
Yeah.
And one of them has, oh, who's the big attorney that represented Scott Peterson?
Oh, Garagos. Garagos. Garagos, yeah.
Garagos. And Alan Dershowitz was the guest.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And listening to those
recently?
Guys, I somebody just sent it to me. I don't know how recent the show was. Oh, probably in the last couple of months. But I can't listen to two lawyers talk about obtuse lawyering things that, of course, they're incredibly intense about, although they were talking about a lot of things regarding Flynn and the Department of Justice and, you know, things that would be of interest to a lot of people, I'm sure. It's just not something I really want to get into the weeds about. So, anyway, going back to Brent Hatley, he believes, and I guess he co-partnered with, and Carl can probably talk a lot more about this than I can, no doubt, because that was the topic of WATP this week, and I thought it was great because, first of all, I just don't like the idea of somebody splitting off a show and going, yeah, me and my wife are going to do a show. It's going to be great.
Yeah. Well, Todd Pattengill, he was a success, right? What? He wasn't?
Todd Pattengill.
Just kidding.
Todd, Scott and Todd. Well, Todd got Scott blown out of Z100, I guess.
Yeah, I think we've talked about that.
He drummed him out of there.
Yeah.
And then he drove Z100 into the ground by himself. Didn't do well.
Drove it into the ground.
And so then he drove it into a tree. So then he's like, hey, the Scott Pattengill podcast.
Todd, yeah.
Behind a paywall.
With my wife. Was it with his wife or daughter?
His daughter's on it, yeah. And he sings the jingles and he does everything.
Yeah, boy.
But he's the worst host. And honest to God, that is possibly my favorite episode of Who Are These Podcasts? Because it is so bad. His podcast is so, so bad. But because he was on Z100 in New York, I'm sure they probably got a bunch of people to go behind the paywall and pay for it.
Yeah.
Because that show, I guarantee you, would never, ever survive without a paywall. It wouldn't have a chance because it wouldn't have any audience. It's just that bad. But I guess assuming, you know, you're on a station with a million people listening every week, a certain number, and I don't know how many that was, but that was the show that said, due to COVID-19, we just can't seem to make it through the COVID-19 thing.
Excuse.
But fortunately, we have this bonus episode that you guys can enjoy. Which
COVID-19 is taking out a lot of shows, man.
What is a bonus episode of a bad show? And I got to tell you, the bonus episode was horrible.
Oh, boy.
Horrible, horrible, horrible. So, I would love to know how many people actually paid for that terrible podcast. But if you go right from radio and say, I'm new podcast is going to be paid, like Anthony did with Opie and Anthony, that show had enough really fervent listeners who love Anthony that I'm sure Anthony can make it.
Well, plus he did a show for free for a long time before he charged.
Yeah,
without Opie.
Compound Media existed before that. That's true. And Anthony is, he certainly is a lot. Anthony can fill up a room.
Yeah, you're paying for his personality.
Yeah, he's got a lot of it.
I don't know if you're paying for Todd Pattengill's personality.
And Opie on his own, and WATP gets into Opie a lot. Opie on his own, I just am like, how did this guy survive in this show for all that? I don't understand it. I'm like, what? It seems like possibly the least talented person who made the most money per ounce of talent in the history of
entertainment. Anthony on the show?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, well.
That was smart.
Brilliant.
I don't know if it's worth as much as they paid him, but anyway. Something worked. Somehow it worked, so who can argue with it? But on his own,
So back to Brent Caitlin. Brent Hatley?
Yes. And I was just annoyed by the idea that she could even pull an audience because she's such a slut. I mean, but then you look at Guys We Fucked, podcast, and Daddy's Girls. And they draw these gigantic audiences.
It's a little different than being a swinger and just. Well, in other words, the hunt is probably the interesting part of Guys We Fucked, I would think, right? Or Who's Your Daddy? It's about.
I've listened to them, I think the girls have enough going on. They're entertaining enough among themselves. I suspect that girls listen to that show when all is said and done. the guys probably drop off and girls listen to it.
Okay.
Because it's girls talking candidly about something that girls don't talk candidly about all that often. I don't know, the Daddy's Girls, which was like the number two podcast in the country in that category, in our category. And now the girl is lost the other girl. They both lost their heads and think they're superstars. And so the one's doing
call her daddy.
Call her daddy. Okay. I don't know. How is Call Her Daddy doing without the one host?
It's number one.
Is it number
The one chart I saw it said it was number one. I didn't look at Chartables, though.
So anyway, I've had this picture of Caitlin standing there nude in front of me for the last 10 minutes. First of all, she's not that hot. They go on and on like she's just the hottest chick ever who just wants to fuck anybody, anytime, anywhere. And
she's not.
I don't want to hear a guy talking about fucking as much as she does. I really don't. And I don't want to listen to her. It just gets so skanky and gross. And it's like, you're not that hot anyway.
She's not that bad, though.
No, she's not that bad, but she's not that hot.
No.
I mean, I just don't want to hear her talking about sex all the fucking time and talking about how wet she is. And I mean,
she talks about her pussy bone.
What?
Oh, that's nothing. That, trust me, that's nothing.
She has some weird bone, like somewhere in her pelvis, and it
yeah,
it makes
different
it
one every
feel,
night.
It makes it feel really weird when you have sexual coitus with her. And
yeah, it means that sex with her is better than sex with any other girl because she has this special thing that makes sex with her so special. Even though
now that's being sexy. That's classy and sexy. I like that.
I dug it.
Even though nine guys a day get to feel it. It's still incredible.
Oh, gross. Probably.
I mean, it is just.
Semen is probably.
After a while, I don't know. I can't take it. And then him acting like his sex with her is so hot. I mean, he's just like 50-year-old guy with a shaved head who's, 50 pounds overweight. It just. I don't know. I don't feel like these two people should be talking about sex all the time. I don't think anybody, and as it turns out, nobody did want to listen to it all the time. But they were trying to, I guess he had connections at Twitch because of
Howard. Sounds like he fingered her.
So he quickly became a Twitch partner.
Yeah.
What does that mean? I don't even know what that means.
I have no idea.
I think it means you're at a certain level. They just put him at that level right away, though he didn't earn it. They just said, you're a Twitch partner because we know you're going to be great, blah, blah, blah. And so with Twitch, your live content, apparently anyone can watch your... Is that right, Brandon? Anyone can watch your live content?
Yeah, streaming media, video game stuff. It basically can be anything that you can imagine, games, music, talk shows, art.
But to listen to the content after it's aired live, you have to pay money. So,
or you can just go on YouTube, and because some guy has captured best of all their Twitches.
Oh, somebody has?
There's
pop some on. I'm curious. Just pop it.
Hatley was fired from the Howard Stern show. He likes to play it off that he left on his own accord to start a Twitch
channel. That's not Brett Hatley.
No, this must be a guy just talking about it then.
Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of that.
Yeah.
And you'll notice if you ever go to the Howard Stern subreddit that a lot of the conversation on there happens to be about this show. Because I think a lot of them were just like, wait a minute, no way he left on his own volition.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of curiosity about it, but the fact is, it in and of itself is just not that interesting to me. Now, as it turns out, it's not that interesting to very many people because, as I mentioned, you can watch the Twitch content live, but if you're not, live is not the way most people listen to podcasts. So to get the pre-recorded part and maybe to go to the parts you want to hear or what have you, you have to pay. And I think it's $6 a month or something like that. And what Andy on Carl's podcast said was he had to pay the $6 because he just wanted to listen to one episode because they were critiquing it. Mm-hmm. And he made it sound like it was not worth the $6. And also, I guess when he was on there, they show how many people are watching or how many views have occurred. And it was minuscule, 18 views, 20 views or something. So they just didn't have any subscribers or didn't have enough subscribers. But anyway,
But if he's a partner, isn't he making money?
He's already quit. It's already over.
Oh, boy.
I think it's over. Yeah, that's what they said on WATP. And he said that Brett is now looking for a radio job.
Hmm.
Because whatever was going on in Twitch was not supporting them. They could not live.
What a great time to be looking for a radio job.
I know.
Yeah, that didn't work out well, did
no,
it?
No, it didn't.
So, that didn't work out well at all, did it?
In the end, I don't know if he was fired from
Twitch or
Stern.
I'm watching his show from today, so he's still doing it.
Is it? Oh, okay. You are? You watching it live?
In fact, it might, this might be live. Let's see.
Probably is live.
Where are you watching it at?
Oh, yeah. Well, about, maybe it's not Twitch.
Are you talking about how your wiener website feels inside Caitlin?
Oh.
I don't know. Here it is.
There's like a 1 in 3 chance that'll be the topic. Bring it up. We can listen to a minute,
by
can't
way,
we?
She's on Cameo if you want to get a personalized message
from
her.
Oh.
And better yet, she has not a one on there.
Okay. I don't want to steal too much of Carl's show.
Oh, no. The major next door.
Okay.
He was in the tent next door.
Boobs look good there.
We got into work that next day because we had to work every day. There were no
days
off.
Sounds like garbage.
When we got into work the next day, the major was like, "You fucking guys, I don't know, how did you get alcohol in here?" And we told him what we did.
Yeah, he is a veteran.
Idiots. He was like, "You Marines are fucking idiots." And then later on, like the USO and some other organizations had sent us like puzzles and board games.
We're currently the 98th viewer.
While we're in the desert.
That's not bad, right?
And it was
that's their whole thing.
That shit, we're not playing.
Yeah, I mean, you got to pay to watch it after it's recorded. Puzzles and board games. And apparently, not that many people are paying. They made it sound like it was over, so I'm kind of surprised. I'm gonna take this up to Carl. He'll be on the show Thursday, by the way. And also,
your shirt's this Thursday.
Yes, I'm positive it's this Thursday. Carl's buddy Andy was on there, and I think he said that the word is, and this is from Radio Gunk. Anybody listen to Radio Gunk?
No.
I guess it's all about the Stern Show. It's like a show about the Stern Show and nothing else, and on and on and on. I guess they are suggesting that.
Sounds like a great one.
That he's going to. I think I might have heard Stuttering John on Radio Gunk, which
God,
is hilarious.
So bad.
I think the word was that Howard is doing a deal with Netflix, and that's his deal is going to end with Sirius.
What's he gonna? Well, you know what?
I heard something. I heard a rumor.
I haven't heard much about that at all.
Think about one of his best friends in the industry,
David Letterman. It was like I heard that it was supposed to be a Letterman-esque type of thing.
Because remember when he did the Letterman show, he was talking about how much he loved it.
Yeah,
it's just a lot easier.
Sure. No, I could totally understand.
Great. He'd be so good at that.
I believe Netflix would pay him a big pile of money to do it. So why would he get up 3 days a week at 4 o'clock to journey into New York City in a limousine? Not bad. And deal with all those headaches at Sirius. I don't know. That's sort of hard to picture. But
seems like an obvious move for him.
And also, wouldn't it be easier to view him on Netflix? Wouldn't he possibly pick up some millions of people?
Me, I'd watch him.
So I thought that was pretty interesting. But then again, they were wrong about this show on Twitch. I guess maybe the point was it's just not making any money. I thought they said it was over. Or maybe I read it was over.
Breaking news with Mort Grimm.
Rick Beato put out a video with a rant.
What?
I just want to play it.
What?
This is a live stream that he did.
I have to question that this is breaking news.
Yo, yo, yo. What's up, everyone?
It is, okay. Because it relates to the list we played earlier.
So
what?
I put out a video yesterday.
I don't know why it's echoed.
Top 20 greatest debut records of all time.
Hey, Beato, why is it echoed?
And I woke
up
today.
He forgot a record.
What's that, Billy?
It has the same problem.
What is it?
Oh, this is like background Beato, man.
Echoing bad?
Is that his partner?
Wait.
Okay.
I know you did this live, but couldn't you edit this part out when you finished the live?
Maybe I just turn this off here. Can you hear me?
It's like Streamcast.
How about that? Is that better, Billy?
What's going on, Rick?
It's like this.
It sounded like he was in bed and he just woke up and that was his partner in the background.
That's how pissed.
Hello.
Partner.
Damn it. That's what I meant.
His lover.
Oh, but I think they're actually in the studio, and that's just someone he works with.
He's not, man.
Just to be clear.
If he wasn't pissed off before, he's going to be pissed now.
Am I good?
Oh, boy. Heads up.
Okay, so I wake up today.
Everybody sitting down?
And I look at my emails.
Uh-oh.
And I see that my video's been blocked. So I go and check on my creator app, and it got blocked at 4:35 a.m.
What?
So... how do I know that? Because I got this notice here. Now check this out. It says, top 20 debut albums of all time. Copyrighted content, 21st century schizoid man. That's good old King Crimson, right?
Bullshit.
You see it's where it says manually reviewed by copyright owner or someone on behalf of the copyright owner.
He didn't play King Crimson.
And it says Aviator
That's what he's mad
management.
About. That's why he got blocked out.
And it says from Germany, okay? So I was like, this is ridiculous.
Bullshit.
I go and look, and it's 9 seconds of the song that I played. 9 seconds.
Ooh,
that's
the bullshit. Germans.
You would have fair
So
use.
I said, okay, I'm going to try something different. Oh. And I look up to see if they I look up to see if they actually have a phone number, which they did.
Uh-oh.
How many BAs
so said, okay,
viewers do you think are
them.
Actually
They're
listening to this breaking news?
I call them, and
611
I said, hey.
Views.
My
oh,
name's
sorry,
Rick.
611,000 views.
I have a YouTube channel.
What?
Yeah.
And
I'm kind of with them.
I did a video yesterday that you guys blocked for we 9 seconds
them.
Of views. And this is not YouTube. I see people that always put this stuff in there. It's YouTube's problem. No, the artists tell the publisher or the manager how much of the of a song that they will play in there. It's not YouTube's deal. And I'm not going
I'm
to other
it, man.
Formats or anything. YouTube is great. The reason
he's,
that you guys...
He's promoting that band by
no,
putting
I,
them on
I
the
know.
List.
Is he really harming them playing a tiny clip for his top 20 list? He's putting them in a category where he's saying they're the best.
Yeah.
And people can't take the 9 seconds and not participate in the commerce for that song, right? Yeah. I mean, people go, oh, I got the 9 seconds of King Crimson. I don't need to buy any more King Crimson.
You know how to support the channel. You can donate here. Super
this is
chat.
A sign off. I just fast forward.
At least for the next 20 seconds while I'm on.
Okay, so.
Billy, is there anything else I oh, didn't say?
His partner.
Or what? You don't have to write to Aviator Management or anything
so
like
mad.
That.
He called them.
I don't
them.
Care
he
about
called
those
management.
People.
Man up.
The people
so
that are not being served
clip?
Are King Crimson.
No, he just
They're just not being served right. You know?
I was going to say, we should
Don
go back
Henley,
to the phone call.
Who cares about Don Henley?
Oh.
My God. Great singer. Great songwriter. Terrible drum sounds. Just kidding, Don.
Henley Vibiato.
Why is he piling into Don Henley?
I don't know. I'm not going to play the
is
whole
he a blocker?
20 minutes.
Okay.
But
so,
I'm with you, Rick.
All right. So I think we pretty well covered Brent Hatley. I guess he's alive and sort of well, maybe not so well. The other thing is with...
But is
with,
his wife getting nailed enough? That's what I need to know.
Never.
There's no satisfying.
The other thing that was kind of interesting is not knowing much about Twitch. I guess you have to put out a lot of live material because you get those live views when people don't have to pay. So he was doing things like he has a, I think he has a happy hour from 5 to 7 where he gets drunk and you get your booze out and get drunk with him and Caitlin.
Okay, well, that's a thing.
Is that really a thing? Is that people want to go
during quarantine
on
maybe.
The computer?
Sounds like a great one.
Maybe.
I
don't know.
I wouldn't. I don't know. I think
maybe,
there's better things to watch at 5 o'clock.
Maybe as a lifelong producer, maybe he has all kinds of great guests that normally he could get that he cannot get because of, I don't know. I don't know what's going on there. But it didn't sound like...
this job can suck, man. You gotta hustle.
Check it now. I want to see if there's still 98 people on there. I mean, 98 wouldn't be bad. If people could go back and view it, that would tell me there's a great larger number who
he's
would go back and listen to the whole
got
thing.
Donations.
We are currently the 107th
See,
viewer.
See, it's gaining.
Okay.
And
See what they're talking about.
I like Tesla. Call me crazy. I like them. I like Modern Day Cowboy. I like Little Susie's a good song. Song and Emotion. Love song. I like Tesla.
Not
a lot.
What signs, man?
Do you not know that he's overmodulating
too,
and popping?
A concert we used to put
I was
going to
say the sound is not
this concert on
terribly good.
I don't think she's carrying her weight.
I'm so
well, he's not talking about Wiener, so she's totally Dreamweaver.
Well, she could have said, I'd fuck all the guys in Tesla.
what she was thinking.
That's her commentary for every story.
Well, I would fuck 2 members, but I don't know. I don't know about the drummer or the rhythm guitar player. Play a little more. Wait, you can play this back. Oh, you just paused.
Tesla, like, brought some tents, and they fucking hung out with us.
That's
and
cool.
She got smashed and stepped, like, onto their tent.
Holy shit.
Yeah. It was great, man. But those guys were cool. I
like
those guys.
That seemed like a gratuitous holy shit, man.
Yeah.
When I first heard that song, Modern Day Cowboy, I loved it. So
I'd fuck a cowboy.
Madison, yeah, right.
I'm so bummed that I missed all those. I think I was like 16 when you guys stopped doing livestock.
I only fucked a thousand guys.
She's trying to focus on the fact that she's so much younger than him and therefore hot.
2004, I think, was the last one. So
she's so uninterested in anything he's saying right now.
That was a huge bummer.
Because those were,
I missed out on some really funny stuff, man.
Those were some raging parties.
We've been to Capitol Theater, right?
Capitol Theater.
And maybe we're bringing him some new viewers.
Yeah, that's where you fucked all those guys.
Where was the place we went and saw Danzig?
Belmont.
Oh. Okay.
We went to Belmont.
I wouldn't fuck Danzig. He's too short.
That's where we went.
I'm into fucking muscle guys.
Imparting the hair.
But his drummer. Kaylin, now that's a guy I'd fuck.
You ate Brent's actually, I did. On the first date. It is
forgot about that.
True story.
100% true story.
With the bass player. Oh, my God.
She's wild, man. She's,
you guys just talked over the point like that she just level. Explained that yeah. she doing ate it. His butthole on their first date.
I know. Leo what? Marvin, you should be at the Rays home opener. You
Brent's butthole?
Yeah, that was, yeah, that's what she just said.
Okay.
They're answering Q&A.
Alrighty. Anyway, that's a good
picture
of her.
I hope they have a kid someday.
I just didn't find her to be super pretty.
She's not,
you know. I mean, she's got nice.
Look, if you didn't know she was a swinger boobs. And talked about all that stuff, she would just she'd be okay.
I think Carl said she might be hot for the people in line at 7-Eleven, which I thought was pretty brilliant. Either Carl or Andy said that
she would fuck them all. So that's the good thing.
Well, that's the other cool thing. If you were in the same line with her, you'd have a shot.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't want to pick on Brent, but
yeah, clearly
I was just kind of curious what happened because he was such a big part of a huge show with millions of listeners, and then there's just nothing, and then all of a sudden, boom! There's WATP reviewing it. So, congrats to those guys for being on it. I bet that's a good show for him.
I can't believe we didn't cover this important story that I actually texted to you earlier today. That was a story out of Page Six. Just
I did read this. I saw this when you sent it to me. Chrissy Christ. Teigen asks Twitter if she should get a nose piercing.
First off, who gives a shit? Why are you asking people on Twitter? And secondly, why is Page Six printing that? It's not a story of even in 2020, that's not a story.
Chrissy Teigen is still the mayor of Twitter. The model, 34, is known as one of the most hilarious and controversial figures.
No, she's not.
But she's been very funny lately. She's been pretty.
She's not.
She's been acting like a regular idiot on Twitter, getting all bummed out and triggered.
What's the funniest thing Chrissy Teigen's ever said?
I don't know. I guess she has really good comebacks. Maybe Brandon knows.
Nope.
Why would you think about Brandon know?
I don't know. I'm just saying that.
Brandon loves big Chrissy Teigen fan.
He likes,
not at all.
He likes snappy comebacks. So anyway, besides Brett, the other thing that was of interest to me, not really radio, but sort of, was Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
Was trending today because he said video games are a waste of time. And I guess he said this a couple times recently, and it's just, why is it a big deal that he said video games are a waste of time? Is his audience so nerdy that that's just, people can't live with it? I've listened to Joe for 10 years, but I'll never listen again.
No.
Video games are a waste of time.
I don't even really think it was his listeners. It was just video game nerds who were very upset at it. I mean, I don't know the full context of this because it sounds like,
The idea was that people don't get out and do stuff or exercise, which...
Okay.
I don't know if that's the path they took.
That's what the guy said.
You can't just make a blanket statement about anything. You could say, you know, having friends is a waste of time.
Riding your bike is
a waste of time. Watching sports is a waste of time. But honestly, video games are a little different because some people sit and play video games all by themselves for 10 hours a day, and they're 16 years old, and they really should be doing other things to develop a human life.
But I can see why people would be a little...
Games are a real problem. They're a real problem. You know why? Because they're fucking fun.
Addictive.
And you don't... Yeah. Well, I have a real problem with them. And you do them, and they're real exciting, but you don't get anywhere.
Right.
It's like you could do... Like martial arts, right? You could learn jiu-jitsu. You get obsessed by jiu-jitsu, and then 3 years later, you're like an elite jiu-jitsu athlete. You're entering in competitions. You're a purple belt.
You're moving up.
Yeah, you're doing well. Right. You're thinking, I might be able to open my own school one day.
You got confidence.
Yeah, if I have 100 students, and those 100 students are paying me X amount of dollars per month, I can make a living.
Jiu-jitsu instead.
Holy shit, this would be amazing. And then you see your jiu-jitsu school, and your jiu-jitsu instructor has all these students, and drives a Mercedes, and he's got a nice family, and that's the future. This is what way, you're doing something exciting and fun, and you don't. Or you could just be playing fucking video games. 3 years later, you could be that same kid just playing video games, waiting for the next Vix, whatever the fuck game is. You know,
I gotta
next
say,
Xbox
I think there's more money
to
be made
out.
In playing video games than there would
I
be.
I disagree
in
with Joe Rogan.
Jiu-jitsu training. I'm with you, Brandon.
For starters, yes. How many jiu-jitsu millionaires are there in the world right now? I guess you could say the ones that do UFC.
Okay, I'm asking because I don't know. Not because I'm judging. How many people playing video games are making $1 million a year?
Are you kidding me?
I don't know. I'm asking.
You'd be surprised.
You'd be surprised. Check out. I mean, that's exactly what Twitch started at. Mm-hmm. Plus, we have every single college now having, video game teams. That's just started recently.
Well, the Pistons have an E-team.
Yeah, Drew. Yeah. You know somebody whose son got a full scholarship because he was a very good at Dota or whatever.
But
it is.
I mean, okay, let's just take the average 100 kids who are playing video games 8-10 hours a day when they're 15 years old. How many of them will make money playing video games? Sure.
How many of them will make money playing basketball?
Yeah, it's probably. I guess.
Yeah, but basketball, you are part of a team. There's a social element to it. It's something you're going to.
There's a very big social element to video games. The whole thing is linked up.
Well, there can be a social element, but there doesn't have to be. Some people play by themselves, or they play with their next door neighbor, or they play with the same guy in the headphones every day for 2 years.
It's far more social now than it was when I came up playing video games, because then you couldn't be online and talk to other people.
I just I think anything is just a matter of whether you do it too much or you enjoy it, and maybe you play 10 hours a week and it's a blast. It's the thing you look forward to the most. But
maybe you're playing in lieu of watching television. You know, a lot of people that play video games don't watch TV.
Well, they probably do watch TV and they play video games, would be my guess. But I don't know. What do I know?
You know who loves
video
games?
I don't think
games?
It's healthy to do anything for 10 hours a day if it's just there's so many other things you could do a little bit of. I mean, I think people do get addicted to video games, and there's a lot of people where video games are just a big babysitter.
Sure.
So I don't know if you shit with my kid.
I would agree with
let him
that,
go down
to
the basement and play video games for 10 hours. That's not healthy.
I would agree with that. But I was going to say, autistic people, according to Love on the Spectrum, love video games. All of them.
Who doesn't love video games? Everybody loves video games. I remember one stretch when I was in Phoenix, and I got this... football game, yeah. And I could not stop playing it. And honestly, I would get home from work and I would play for hours and hours and hours until like, I guess I got to do something about tomorrow's show. And I would start, you know, prepping the show. But honestly, it was really all I did.
What'd you get into? Was it John Madden Football 90?
No,
was it,
Madden wasn't around yet.
It was got to be Tecmo
Bowl. Oh, it sure was.
It was Tecmo Bowl.
It was Super Tecmo Bowl, right?
Oh, okay. I didn't know because Joe Montana Football was out in the early 90s.
No, it was Tecmo, and I loved it. But honestly, I remember reaching a point where I was like, what am I doing spending all these fucking hours playing this fucking game? And... you know, it was a phase, but honestly, and I could probably find myself right back there if I found the right game
that
I loved.
FIFA Mobile Soccer. I'm totally addicted to that game.
Honestly, it just was not healthy. I played it too much at the expense of a lot of other things that I should have been doing.
See, that's the dangerous thing. Now that you can play these games on your phone, it's even worse.
I would say
you're time managing and doing a bunch of stuff, and really you're just focusing on the game.
The most destructive thing I've seen is guys I know who are like, you know, in their 40s and they're married and they play 5 or 6 hours a day. As soon as they get home, they can't wait to play, and it's all they want to do.
That's
they really don't want to spend time with their wife, and they really, you know, maybe the kids play a little bit too. But that's I don't think that's really a great thing, and I don't think kids who are in their teens playing 10 hours a day and, you know, having people bring meals to them and they don't want to go to the bathroom.
Gonna go home and play me some Red Dead Redemption 2. I got a train to rob in Valentine.
But that's the problem. It's so much fucking fun that, you know, what would I rather do, play video games or anything else? I'd rather play video games.
That's kind of what Rogan's saying, but at the same time, I think that's a little mischaracterization of people that play video games.
I'm going to be playing Red Dead Redemption for the next 18 hours.
Well, we're not talking about everyone. That's what I mean. Making a blanket statement about anything, video games are a waste of time, jiu-jitsu is a waste of time, is ridiculous.
I think there's a stigma, though, on video games of, you know...
Well, because I'll tell you why there's a stigma, because we all know some people who play way too much.
Yeah.
And I remember playing way too much, too.
Could be somebody sitting on their bed that weighs 400 pounds, okay?
I had a Magic Johnson. Yeah, what about the kid that weighs 400 pounds, whose father has to literally fill up the tub on the porch?
You mean the trough?
He plays nude. He just has a giant comfort towel that he wraps around him because it's too much of a hassle to get dressed.
That's right,
it takes time away from video games.
The headset, I forgot. He was nude
his
except
dad,
for the headset and his comfort
towel. His
dad came
in and gave him like 15 items from McDonald's. And then he said, you know what? They forgot yours, Dad. You're out of luck.
Yeah, and he's got six Big Macs, two cheeseburgers, three orders of fries, and he's not going to share it with his dad.
What an asshole.
Yeah, they fucked up your order. No, his dad was a moron. His dad was a total idiot. His dad did complain about it, but his dad basically serviced all of his needs, well, not all of them, but most of them, while he sat on his 500-pound ass playing video games all day long.
Excuse me.
Isn't the worst part about my 600-pound life is that so many of them are just fucking assholes.
There's one disgusting person.
You have to be an asshole to get people to bring you the food. I mean, you have to control someone. Someone has to be in your little cult.
Yeah, but
they have
to
be either you pay their bills or they live in your house or something. But
wouldn't you eventually be like, oh my God, not only am I huge, I'm kind of a dick.
It's pretty mystifying how it works.
Americans can be fat and poor. That's what makes us so great.
I'm a leg. Remember the I'm a leg guy? I love the I'm a leg guy on YouTube. Here he is. That's terrible audio, but it's just, my leg.
Some people are saying.
What?
Some people are saying that my 600-pound life is exploitive. Exploitative. What? They feel that it exploits
the
extreme weight of these people for our entertainment.
Makes me not want to eat. Here he is being pulled out of their house.
The big defense is that they like being on the show.
They get paid.
So who cares?
They get the surgery, though, man.
They do. They get better.
There he goes, being removed out of the house.
We got your legs. There you go. Keep your hands inside.
Your hands on the chest, buddy. Five grown men carrying this person on a special stretcher.
Almost, sir.
All right,
is that taking the kid out to take the bath in the giant tub?
The way that duck is supporting it. And by the way, way more than five guys.
Ooh, can you hear the porch creaking?
Yeah.
Pussy.
That guy liked playing video games.
You need to get up off your fat ass and lose some of that goddamn weight.
Got all his enablers watching him as he's taken out of the house.
Two, three.
Oh, boy. Oh, man. Oh, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Get him on there. Oh, loneliness and cheeseburgers are a dangerous mix.
That's a tough gig when you get to be that big. I always feel like when you get to like 325, you go, oh, my God, I'm really overweight. I got to do something.
Tell me about it.
Yeah. And then, you put it off, so you're up to 374. Oh, my God, 400. I never dreamed. Okay, I got to start working out tomorrow. That's it.
No, that's when you go, fuck it. 400, 600, 800.
I know, but at 600, wouldn't you think you go, I can't gain another pound. This is ridiculous. I got to change my habits. I gotta
Why not? What's,
no.
one, what's 1 pound then?
I guess that's how it works. Anyway, Rogan not only caused himself to trend on Twitter with the statement about video games, but did you hear he's moving to Texas?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, he did.
Because he wants more freedom.
Well, he doesn't want to pay income tax either with that new deal from Spotify.
And traffic. And...
Yeah, I understand. Smog and, all those
and
unhealthy
no
things.
State income tax now that he got all that money from Spotify.
Texas has no income tax?
Yeah, that's why A-Rod took the deal there.
Oh, that's right.
Out of Seattle.
Doesn't Florida have no income tax and Nevada has no income tax?
Do, yeah.
And there's like four or five states, I think. Anyway, hey, did you guys see John Lewis touring D.C. today?
Touring D.C.?
Well, I mean, they were like, and there's John Lewis. He's heading down the parkway, making his way around to all these various locations where he's made a difference. And I'm like, he's dead. Why didn't they do this like 2 weeks before he died and just go, John, look, you don't have that much time. We want to really celebrate you by doing this. And then instead of like lying in state, he could sit in a, you know, a lounge chair or something and greet people as they walk by.
Did he know he's going to die?
Well, yeah, he knows he's going to die. He had pancreatic cancer.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he did. That's what they said today.
I don't know. No, but I did imagine when he was crossing the Edmund Pettus Bridge, I imagined like somebody trying to cross the bridge with their cargo. God damn it, I gotta go over here. Because it's blocking traffic and, you know.
Well, it was weird, too, because there were a couple times when people were cheering for him.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I know they mean well, and there's nothing, no one's hurt by it, but it just seemed like, wouldn't it be nice if they could cheer him when he was alive? Yeah. It'd be nice. Yeah. And then he gets to the to lie in state, which is so weird to me. If somebody, by the way,
oh, we're totally doing you.
I'm gonna state it right now.
No, we're doing it.
I do not want to lie in state. If anybody wants to honor me in such a way, I understand it's a great honor, but I do not want to lie in state. And I would think John Lewis, like in the last couple weeks, have gone, you know, if anybody has an idea of me lying in state, I really don't want to do that because I'll be dead. I'm 80. I'm
yeah, he did my say best. That. He did say, and someone said, "Ah, too bad, you won't be here." It's about us.
I mean, do people know they're going to lie in state?
I'm sure some do. I mean, I don't know if Ernie Harwell knew that.
Do you think Ernie wanted to lie in state?
I wouldn't think so.
Especially if people taking pictures of him.
I don't care what you do with my body, personally.
Don't you think people...
You are long gone.
I bet you people to put me out in the garbage.
I bet you a few people took pictures of John Lewis.
Oh, no.
No, they didn't. With I know Ernie, they did with Ernie, that. You're right. People were complaining that you could actually see the flashes. It was so blatant. So you're like, well, might as well get a picture. What is that?
What about Reagan? Did they almost drop? They almost drop Reagan?
Oh, yeah, they did. Was it Reagan? Yeah, it was Reagan, wasn't it? And it was fascinating watching the line on C-SPAN or whatever we were watching it on. So weird.
Wait, is that going today, on? Right, is that going on right now?
Yes, I think it is. Today,
C-SPAN.
Listen to this. Today, they have honor guards and all these people. Which, you know, the military part of it to me is very cool. Mm-hmm. It adds a
pump. Yeah.
The pump and circumstance. And there's something cool about the military where. Even to this day, you don't have some private reaming out the Secretary of Defense on Twitter. I mean, isn't it kind of strange that you don't see people in military levels, you know, bitching some guy out on Twitter?
Oh.
Or I mean, there's the chain of command actually works. Now, I'm sure sometimes it doesn't work because someone who knows something at the bottom doesn't tell someone at the top, or, you know, it has to work its way up. But
well, once they're, fired, though, the commander in chief tends to rip on him on Twitter.
Well, that's true. Yeah. But he's at the top of the chain. If Trump were anywhere else in the military chain, he would be drummed out. Yeah. It would not work. Because
there's a level of respect.
There's a respect and a chain of command, and it still works somehow.
There's a group of people in the line for John Lewis getting their picture taken right now.
They're all wearing blue coats, they don't perfectly match. It was like, okay, everybody wear a blue coat. And then you get guys with multiple shades of blue coming, which it kind of fucks it up. So today, the honor guard is standing there, and they're about to bring his coffin up the stairs, which is like, oh, my God, what a job. And one of the guys in the honor guard just faints, just falls to the ground, just like whammo on the ground.
No, I'm still sleeping, man.
Did anyone see this?
No.
Okay, no one else in the honor guard. There's seven other guys in the honor guard. No one moved.
Really?
It's like this guy faints, and there's all these people standing at attention. Nobody fucking moves. And finally, this guy from like 100 yards away comes running across the steps, and he attends to him. But the guys that were, I was like, wait, I understand they're saluting everything, and John Lewis is really important, but does this guy passing out and landing on his head matter? I mean, wasn't that weird, Brandon?
Here's the video.
Well, I...
Oh, there he is, down here.
A saluting Rudy Tootie back to you, my friend.
That guy finally comes.
He did. That guy was standing next to seven people when he fell over. Oh, you don't see them in that shot there, but there's seven guys just standing at attention.
Kelly O'Donnell is with me.
How are they going to handle it? They're so confused.
Kelly O, can you hear me?
I do hear you, Craig. This is that moment, of course, we're waiting, yes.
Kelly O, I'm not sure what your vantage point is, but it looks like someone may have just...
Are you okay?
Either passed out or fallen.
Man.
They passed out. It was 96 degrees.
No. You know who else didn't move when someone passed out? Glenn Beck, when that guy passed out on his show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's not one of my favorite.
And the guy told him, I'm going to pass out. I'm going to pass out.
I'm passing out.
Passing out.
Well, there was also, remember the guy in Buffalo that fell to the ground and the police just walked right by him? And everybody was so pissed.
Yeah, he passed
this
out.
This was like that times 10.
Yeah.
But that guy, what happened to the guy in Buffalo? Did he?
The old man, the 75
year old. Yeah, the old man. Why did he fall?
Well, he was shoved.
Oh, that's right. He was he tripped or he was shoved or both.
He didn't fall, Drew.
Yeah,
that's right, yeah.
I mean, the guy didn't like shove him. He just, the guy was kind of fragile and he did push him. But I mean, he wasn't trying to push him down on his head, but then everyone just walked by him.
Another great passing out, if I could find it, was remember when Al Gore was giving the speech and the kid just totally passed out by him?
Yep.
And Al Gore didn't do anything?
I'm telling you, these guys did not move. They didn't even
slightly move.
And I guess that's a part of the military that I love, but maybe that I also am questioning at the same time.
Oh, here it is. I found the kid fainting.
To wealthy special interests. One of which was the oil industry.
He bores the kid to passing out.
That was officially labeled an emergency. And the health care for children.
Oh, there he goes.
Was decided as one of the
priorities. Al Gore.
Well, Al did break from his speech.
Al's doing that move where, like, I'm bending over to help. Is someone going to be faster than me? I don't really know what I'm doing, so if someone please be faster than me to help.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so I got the microphone. I'll shoot a doctor.
I think he may have just fainted.
Now he has to decide, do I keep boring people with my speech?
Let Dr. Thomas through there.
Is there any more word on the Marlins baseball team, by the way? Is Major League Baseball still in existence as we speak? I'm just wondering.
Wait, what's going on with the Tigers?
Well, they're playing. They should be playing.
Yeah, they're playing.
It's opening day at home.
Detroit Tigers. I kind of don't want to.
The Tigers are currently winning 5-1.
All right.
What? Yeah.
They had a big second inning.
Cool. Did Mickey do anything?
I can tell you right now that Whit Merrifield of the Kansas City Royals is on my fantasy team, and he is 1-1 today.
Okay, I would like to, at this moment, ban any further discussion of whether someone is or is not on your fantasy team.
All right, it looks like Miguel Cabrera is 1-1, and it looks like Jacoby Jones, another big day. He's got 3 RBI.
Best nine hole hitter in the league.
This partial score brought to you by Tom Mazzaway and the Wrap with Maz.
Hey, what's going on?
So
with
far, Michael Fulmer, 2 innings pitched, 2 hits, 1 earned run, and 2 Ks.
All right.
Any update on the Wrap with Maz?
No. No further information. I just know that COVID-19 has had a terrible effect on NRM, New Radio Media.
Damn it.
Apparently has been very difficult, and some of the talent seem to be taking the brunt of the hit. And are becoming more reliant on their ability to draw advertising to their programs. So that's a little tricky. Okay, just one more thing I was going to mention. Why did I write this down?
What's it say? We'll figure it out.
No, there was something. There's something related. There was some true crime event today, and
well, there's no update on Susie Q, the poker player found dead in White Lake that we talked about real quick.
Nothing?
I can't.
Okay.
Brandon, did you see an update about it at all or no?
No.
That's really weird.
Well, today I was watching this story on American Monster on the ID channel, which is usually about someone who takes out 4 or 5 family members or something crazy.
Yeah.
And I'm watching this story. I'm going, well, who's going to be the monster in this story? Because it's about this girl from Staten Island, and her name is Simonette. And she's just the most beloved daughter. The family's just crazy about her. And she's marrying this guy named Jonathan Krupe, who they're showing clips from the... And it's usually American Monsters about somebody that there's a lot of video of.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of makes the show, is all the video of the person as a child and growing up. And then at the rehearsal dinner, the brother of Simonette is like, he feels like my real brother, and we do everything together, and he's such a great guy. And it was like, oh, my God, these two wonderful people. And the girl was a school teacher, and she was so beloved by her class that they actually bussed over, I want to say, like 30 students to her memorial when she died. And I think it was like an hour drive or something. Yeah. So anyways, this incredibly happy relationship, and they're both teachers, and they've got, you know, all these great things they want to do, and they want to make a difference. And
I won't call them monsters.
And something happens along the way to getting the undergraduate degree, I forgot, but she ended up, I believe, paying for him to take some extra classes because he didn't have his degree, and it turned out it was like sort of like a scandal, but nobody knew about it.
Mm-hmm.
And Ooh, I think Fulmer just gave up a big, deep one.
Oh, boy. The ball's got to be removed.
Is it to Whit Merrifield, who's on my fantasy baseball team?
That should be edited out.
It was. Mark, it was Whit Merrifield.
You may have to bleep this one, Mark.
It was true.
I know.
Oh, come on. I'll let that. You got to keep that in, Brandon.
What, you're saying it was Whit Merrifield?
It should be bleeped.
Thanks
yes.
for listening to the podcast.
So, Jonathan, something happens. He's not quite as studious as we thought. And, oh, it's crazy. I didn't get my degree. Yeah, you need to take these classes. So I think she actually borrows money to pay for his last time. He's like,
oh,
what?
God, what a load.
I know. He's a total load.
What a monster.
So then they decide that we're both going to get our masters because we both want to teach. We both want to make a difference. And so they borrow, I think it was about $50,000 each to go to graduate school and get their master's. Maybe it's just $50,000. I can't remember. Anyway, things are going along, and they're
I can make that much money in 5 seconds.
They're doing well in their classes, and everything is beautiful. And then she gets her degree, and I think it was sent in the mail. And where's Jonathan's degree? What's going on?
Goodbye, fucking shit school.
And, that's weird. Jonathan's degree, it's not showing up for some reason. In fact, they said that he doesn't have a degree.
What
the hell's going on? And then, out of the middle of nowhere, Jonathan is out at Home Depot, and he's out at this place and that place.
Buying bleach.
And he comes home, and the next thing you know, you're in this 911 call. Oh my God, my wife is dead. Somebody burglarized the place. And he's just going crazy. Oh my God, my wife's dead. And he is so bummed. And it turns out that there was a door or two left open, and someone broke into the house. And first of all, they shoved her down the stairs where she, you know.
Yeah, that sounds like a robber.
Terribly injured. And then when she landed at the bottom of the stairs, she was alive, but not very terribly injured.
Did the guy wanted more time to rob?
He stabbed her 15 times at the bottom of the stairs.
Like, it sounds like a home invasion.
Know, it was really a robber with a very personal anger towards the. He was angry at her for being there, I think.
He was jealous of all the stuff she had because he was going to rob.
Could have been. And the house.
What kind of a monster does that?
An American monster.
Anyway. The house is a mess. Everything is torn apart. All this shit everywhere. And it's like, what happened to Simonette? Everyone loves Simonette. How could this happen? I mean, even this seems to be personal or something. Why would he stab her 15 times? Oh, my God, this is terrible. Well, then they find out that they check the video, and and Jonathan is texting Simonette going, yeah, I'm at Home Depot. I'll be here for another 45 minutes or so. And, oh, yeah, I got to go over and get the oil changed in the car. So I'm getting the car checked, and I'm getting the inspection done, and blah, blah, blah. And it turns out, there he is on the video camera. He's there. Well, he's there. He's there. He's there. And then there's the one final thing at noon where he texts from, yeah, I'm at, Lowe's, and I should be home pretty soon. And she's never answering the text. And it's kind of weird. It's like, I think even he was like, where are you, baby? And they can't find him on the videotape there. It's like, what? He's at these other places. Why isn't he at this place? What's going on? And he's not at home. They've determined that he was not home for, I forgot exactly how. Maybe they had a surveillance or something. Anyway, then they start investigating, and they're looking around. They're looking at this, looking at that, and they talk to him, and he's crushed, of course. His wife loved her so much, and her students loved her, and they were going to change the world, and everything was great. And they stumble onto this thing. It's a bag in a closet. And it's like, well, what's this? It doesn't seem like it has anything to do with the robbery. Psst, what's in this? Unzip it. And, well, it's a phone. What's this phone?
Oh, burner.
They open up the phone.
Oh, no.
And it's Jonathan has a second phone. What's that all about?
Oh, boy. What an idiot. Why didn't he get rid of it?
And they find out that he is communicating with this one person a lot.
Oh, boy.
And, in fact, this person is making arrangements.
Handyman? Was it the handyman?
No, it's not the handyman.
Oh, okay.
It turns out he's making arrangements to see this person right before she was murdered by the robber. So instead of going to the place where he said he was, he went to see this person, who it turns out was Miss Pumpkin, a prostitute. So he was getting hosed at the very moment they believe his wife was being stabbed 15 times and thrown downstairs.
Well, that's a good alias.
Well, it does sort of put him someplace anyway. He's not at the house.
Maybe that's why he would have a hidden phone. Defense is kind of lining up here.
It turns out that, you know what? It seems he talks to her a lot. He's on the phone with her all the time. What's going on?
You know the story.
I don't know the story.
So they start looking at the robbery itself, and like, to push her down the stairs.
Yeah.
he'd have to surprise her, wouldn't he? Because why would she be in front of a robber walking towards the stairway? That's kind of weird, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, maybe he, you know, could he have, this window was left open upstairs. He must have put a ladder up to, but this is a really busy street. You couldn't put a ladder up to that window and just climb in. It seems like it's got to be someone she knows. If they're just, she's just walking in front of them, the stairs, and they just shove her down the stairs. Stab her, that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
And so they then find out that Miss Pumpkin, who charges like $300 for a little friction, he's been going to see her, you know, fairly regularly. And that's weird because he's in class. How is he? Where's he getting all this money? And it turns out
that's what he used the money on.
What do you know? He never went to a class. He never finished any classes. He faked everyone out for 2 years, and instead of going to class, went to Miss Pumpkin.
Oh, what a and loser!
And
got laid.
And then nobody robbed them. He shoved her down the stairs. He stabbed her 15 times.
Was he not banging the chick then? Or?
I think he did it before he left.
He was caught. I'm very proud to say we caught him.
I was going to read more about it today because I was kind of fascinated by Miss Pumpkin.
Wow.
And I didn't get to see her picture. Maybe you can find Miss Pumpkin. His name is Jonathan Krupe, C-R-U-P-I.
Yeah, I've been looking at photos. I can't find her name. It's just in
Miss
quotes,
Pumpkin?
Is
this her or is this the wife? Oh, that's the wife, right? Simonette.
No,
Simonette was pretty and she sounded like a beautiful person. And I guess there were a couple incidents before that that sort of, in fact, we learn later on that she had indeed told her mother that, oh boy, Jonathan, it seems like, I don't know what's going on. This degree doesn't come. And I've called and they said, well, he's not getting a degree. Why would he get a degree? And then she found out that, you know, maybe he was spending the money on something else and he never went to class. And so she made her mom promise not to tell her dad or her brother, who she was convinced would kill Jonathan, because Jonathan, I think, was on double secret probation by then. So there were some indicators that something might not be well. Anyway, he gets convicted. Wow. He has maintained his innocence from day one.
Oh, so well,
I just want to say that on behalf of Jonathan. He has maintained his innocence. He's never wavered. He didn't do it.
Nice throwing your life away at age 33 for a prostitute.
Miss Pumpkin. She's probably pretty hot, though.
He's got to be so mad at his own dick.
The girl they showed who was representing Miss Pumpkin in the ID story, she was pretty hot.
Really?
Yeah. Not saying it's worth it, but I'm just saying. So then, I mean, to add icing on the cake, as if any icing were needed, this guy, this guy, he takes out an ad in, like, Prison Singles.
Oh.
Where...
guy's horny, man.
He mentions that he's not married and he doesn't have any kids and says, no baby drama here. No baby mama drama here.
Yeah, because you murdered her.
Yeah, because you murdered your wife and she didn't have any kids. And so then her mother apparently listened to the ad where he says, no baby mama drama here. And her mother was all bent out of shape. But I don't know if he's found anyone. I mean, it seems like a good line. No baby mama drama. I mean, he's in prison. There's
well, a clever guy.
Nothing else to worry about. And he'll be in there for a while, but you know,
this
I mean,
is
nice to know there's no baby mama drama. I guess
you cannot find
seems a like
picture
a cheap shot.
A picture of
you
a prostitute.
You won't find Miss Pumpkin. They've never given her name. There's no pictures of her.
She took the scan though.
I did scan the courtroom, and there's some hotties in the front. Maybe they were the Miss Pumpkin. But
look, there's Jonathan Krupe as the prostitute's testifying. Think of how hard he is right there. Like, honestly, all the blood is out of his face. She's just thinking about
there's
all this.
There's so many times watching this where I just went, asshole.
He just looks like a dick. Who's the last murderer that didn't look like an asshole?
I know, but he doesn't look like a murderer. He looks so stupid, you wouldn't think, well, he didn't pull it off.
Yeah, he looks like the kind of guy who would go, I'll just kill her and push her down a flight of stairs.
Yeah, I'll just push her down the stairs. Oh, fuck, she's not dead. Damn
it. Stab her 15 times.
Fucking stab her.
I don't
stupid
think
ass.
He thinks forward a lot. After all, he did spend all the money on a prostitute.
I know, and I guess he literally spent all the money. It was like he was down to the last $300 when he went to Miss Pumpkin that final day. But, you know, nice murdering your wife, throwing her down the stairs, having to stab her 15 times, running fake errands and deciding, oh, might as well get in a session with Miss Pumpkin before I call 911. What a fucking asshole.
Well, it's kind of like the 600-pound life guy. You would think after a while of spending all that money on her, you would stop. But,
you know, he probably – the thing is, like, there was no indication. I mean, I don't know if they would report this, but it sounded like he just had a normal session. Like, everything was great. He got off and, you know.
Oh, God.
Miss Pumpkin was hot as ever, and then, I can't make this 911 call. I can't put it off anymore. Fuck.
I bet you took a lot to get that load off.
May have, although I don't know. There's not a lot going on up there. Anyway, why don't you knock us out with the outro, and then Ben will have the... I think we've put off the boner line.
Well, wait, we can't respond to it then.
Bitchy boner line. I'll respond tomorrow if it's bad
I was really
enough.
Hoping to respond to a lot of the stuff on there, actually. Plus, I had something planned for the end of the show, but we'll go ahead and bury it at the end.
What was planned for the end of the show?
A breakdown of his fantasy team?
No.
What was it?
It was just, now it's all ruined and stupid, so I don't want to do it.
Is this what you do?
Is this something that can't be done tomorrow?
Why can't you tell us?
It's secret.
Is this what you do to Kristen? Well, you ruined it. All right, fine.
I'll hit the outro. We can badger Brandon during the outro. I have to admit, I'm kind of curious about
you're failing us.
This borderline beatdown that's coming.
I'm gonna cry.
I think I'm going to just skip it. Maybe I'll listen to it later when it uploads.
In the cry car, like Clark?
Yeah, that might be the best way to go.
If people only knew how real that was.
It was absolutely real.
Oh, my God, he would sit in his car nonstop in the parking
lot. I'm not sure if there were actual tears most of the time, but...
It was definitely his, like, chamber of solace.
Yeah, there's some...
By himself.
There's a lot of beatdowns in this business.
Yeah.
Well, I could read a couple right now if I wanted to.
You what?
I could read a couple right now if I wanted to. I got a long email. Actually, I want to get into this tomorrow. It's a guy that is involved in the health club industry, and it's about how COVID has really, really destroyed something he has spent his entire life building. And
sucks.
I'm just amazed the health club industry, this is what I don't understand. They don't have any lobbyists. They don't spend money on candidates and anybody going to bat for them. It's a big industry. There's a lot of money involved.
That's a good point.
And yet, you know, the Seattle Marlins or the Florida Marlins play when they know they've got a COVID problem.
Yeah.
Well, they major league game.
A lot more money in that.
Yeah. Well, you'd be surprised how much money there is in the health club industry. Yeah. It's kind of bullshit. Anyway, here's the boner line that I'm not listening to.
Brought to you by Manscaped.com. Use promo code Drew for 20% off at checkout.
Yeah, enjoy the LED lights.
The production value of this boner line message is really, really, really poor.
What are you, a fucking expert?
So, I don't know if anyone's ever done this before, but I'd like to call to complain about the audio quality of the message on the boner line. It's a little under-modulated. And overmodulate at the same time? I don't know how that's possible.
You guys are fucking losers. I hate to put the show down, but I don't know why you're yelling.
Well, I'm another one that's leaving. I just can't take this anymore.
God damn! I hope you guys never try to unionize the Red Shovel Studios employees because Drew hates unions.
A union.
Police union.
A union.
Teacher union.
A union.
Auto union.
A union.
MLB union.
A union.
Chill out on the unions, man.
Drew is a fucking tool, and I can't stand it anymore.
How dare you try to tarnish my motherfucking homeboy's reputation, punk motherfucker?
Brandon, you shitbag.
Hey, Mark, why do you gotta use that term Venn diagram all the time? Like, ooh, I took probability and statistics in school. I'm good at math.
What a nerd.
I like to see a Venn diagram of this. I like to see a Venn diagram of that. I like to see a Venn diagram of how many times you use that Venn diagram term and then other terms. Stop using Venn diagram. You are not smart.
I believe that some of his figures may be inaccurate.
That's it. I'm done. Yelling Biden 50 times. I don't get it. You know, I find it funny. It was just irritating. It's just many other things I can listen to. Just keep yelling.
Biden!
I've got a nice separated at birth here.
Hey, slow down.
Mark Fellhauer. And a big bag of wet labia.
Da-dum-ts. I'd be like squirting.
Hey, Mark, fuck off.
It's not nice.
Hey, Brandon, the Deftones
suck.
You know something? You suck.
It's Warren Zevon. It's not Zevon.
Okay, you yelling now?
How many fucking times has it been said that you've heard it, and it's not pronounced the way you say it?
Oh, you're all angry now.
Poor, poor, poor decisions about how your boner line stuff. It's so bad. Why don't you play stuff that people want to hear? You play stuff that shit isn't even funny. Learn to edit correctly to people that they like the stuff.
Ain't all about you, sweetheart.
Oh, my God. During that story where you guys were talking about all the songs that you didn't know were covers, I felt like I was Mavs and I was about to start drawing old NFL logos from the 1970s. Holy shit, that was boring.
Why y'all attacking us?
Hi, Brandon. The Deftones blow. I'd rather remarry my ex-husband and go to a Nickelback show than listen to the Deftones.
It's nice to see you again, Mr. Insult.
I don't know Brandon with his tiny hands. He's definitely not hung, so I'm just perplexed on how he got such a good-looking woman.
I inherited broken junk.
When did this become a music podcast? Review, analyze. Let's face it, we would all be better off listening to Brandon Sparks for 10, 15 minutes than you going through all that crap and wasting all of our time. I'm out.
Good, then get the hell out of my life. Who needs you? Beat it. Leave me alone.